104.4 FM. Bigot Radio. Radio.
Tastes sweeter in this town. Could it be it's the same as the last? I swear I've seen your face elsewhere before, just as familiar as a bottle and a glass. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me. Lesson my sense catches up with me.
You have forsaken all the love you've taken.
You're listening to Bigot Radio with your host, Jeremy McKenzie.
Burn it all down. Blow it all up.
Bigot Radio.
Right with your fucking cheese in your mouth and everything. She's right in front of me now.
Bigot Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Nice to see you. You made it. You're okay. You're hanging in there. Not very deep into this year yet. It's already, like I said, date on the calendar doesn't matter. It's gonna get worse before it gets better. That's why we have to hang out here. The most banned, censored, suppressed, and odious. I think that's the word. Group of people and podcasts and personalities in the country. While we still have one. How's everybody out there the 7th of January? Woo! It's getting cold out there, and I don't mean the temperature. Let's close that down, Phil. A lot has gone on. What can happen in just a few days? A lot can happen in just a few days, and we're going to explore that this evening with whatever mental energy I have left. I got a couple of messages here. I don't know if this was held over from last time or not, but thanks, Craig. I appreciate it. Just goes by whoever Craig is. Thanks for being the funniest guy on the net. If that were true, I would be rich. I appreciate it, though. Found you through a stream with Adam Green. Gun, knife, bomb, nuke, hellfire missile. Of course. Of course, sir. Give me inspiration to do 5 kilometers on my treadmill every day. Good for you, man. That's good. That's a good number. It's not bad. That's more than enough to stay healthy for sure. Love the music you play too. Scary how much we think alike. We think. Not sure we might be evil twins. that's just man think. That's just white guy man think that we've not been allowed to engage in or share or talk about. Or I'm just a regular guy. A lot of us are. We're just regular people. We just don't. No one represents us. So you don't see anyone that represents how you think and feel and view the world because we're not allowed to have that because the enemy controls everything, and they don't like our worldview. Ours has to be crushed and destroyed, so they create one for you to follow. CRJ says, latest NPC brain chip update in progress. MAGA to global homo NWO in 3, 2. Yeah, I'm going to have some things to say with that. Intrusive thoughts is sometimes you just have to roll the hard 6. Unless you're playing Squid Game, then you don't want that. Risk, it's good. You want to roll a hard six in Risk, that's for sure. How's everybody doing? Welcome back. We are here. We're on Rumble, Twitter. I'm never going to call it X. All of the usual places. Entropy, Kick, Twitch, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if I should expand it, try and find some other platforms to put this on, but I don't know if it matters. We're so suppressed. Ban. But Zuckerberg, whenever I hear car alarms going off, I'm like, is this it? Is the raid beginning? I got to hit the Mel Gibson conspiracy theory switch when, you know, the feds attack his apartment and it all self-destructs and burns down. I have one of those. Okay, stop. I don't think it's happening today. So we're safe for the evening, hopefully. It's starting again. I don't know what's going on out there, but car thieves, I mean, it's the Halifax Regional Municipality, you know. There was a shooting just down the street from where I live just the other night. That's good. It's definitely not getting more violent by the day or anything. We're not importing millions of people who are basically criminals, bolstering criminal gangs and networks already in place. And yeah, I don't know. It's not good. Where do I start? I'm still processing a lot of the stuff that's happened over the last couple of days, so bear with me. Zanel says, obligatory 3-shekel donation for pointless words read. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the help and the support, and as always, you can go to the Gumroad link that's in the description box below, probably somewhere, wherever you clicked or found this, and you can help me out that way if you like. If not, it's fine. Everything I do is free because fuck these people. You know? Yeah, I have to. What are we doing? What am I doing? I got to get all these distractions out of my face for a minute. Where do we start with? Chronological order usually is a good way to begin. A lot of people were hotly anticipating this event. This is a great great shot that or Karima had clipped this and put it on Twitter. This is the famous cottage. The Prime Minister's resignation speech from here the other day. He's resigning, kind of, sort of, maybe, a bit, but not really. Maybe, soon, but not soon. if that sounds right, you know, everyone's... Like, he's not going away tomorrow. Oh, I already have that downloaded. Okay, so I don't need it. But it was pretty funny. Watch this. It's very poetic. His speech blows away in the wind before he can even come down to the podium. And I think he said something like, I'll just wing it. And then he rambled on for 20 minutes, half an hour about nonsense. But I thought it was just like very, very symbolic, you know, of how this country's been run and how it's gone. And I'll wing it, he says. Yeah, like you've been doing everything since you've been in office. Why is he bothering to sort papers? Like, half of them just blew away. So he's resigning, kind of, sort of, but not really. I think he'll probably be gone by October, but we've got a lot to do yet. True North reports, many Canadians are wondering what's next for the country after Trudeau announces an intention. I intend to resign. He's intending to resign. As Liberal leader and Prime Minister, once a replacement is selected to take over the party. He's, prorogued parliament, which basically means it's just stopped. It's canceled until March. A lot of the conservatives are crying about how it's illegal and he can't do this and he's a tyrannical monster. And blah. Stephen Harper did it twice, okay? So you don't get to talk now, okay, conservatives? You don't get to talk. You shouldn't talk ever anyway. You're the... The conservatives in Canada are mostly emotionally reactionary. They're kind of like children. They just get up and freak out, and they react emotionally to things that are happening around them. They're not very politically educated at all. They don't really know anything. They're far less involved and aware than the liberals are, and they're terrible at the liberals are much better at politics and manipulating people and doing all the crap you do than the conservatives are. You know. But it's been done twice, and the spying of your personal messages, your emails, your phone calls, your rights being stripped. How are the police able to do all the stuff that? Well, that was Stephen Harper's conservatives that enabled much of that. How is there so much Chinese influence in Canada? Well, again, Stephen Harper opened the doors to that. They're all bad. If they're a politician in this country, in Canada, if it's a political party in this country, they are all bad. They're all bad. They're bad. And mean, we'll get to it later, but because of their ineptitude, their incompetence, their selfishness, their short-sightedness, their need for their own personal gratification over the real need for the well-being and good governance of the country has put us in a position that and I'm not saying what I want to happen one way or the other. I'm just saying from an analytical point of view, it's unlikely that we have a country for much longer, because we just there's a lot of reasons why that could happen, why that we will cease to exist as we currently exist. He announced on the steps of the cottage he would be stepping down, citing tumult. You know, they're all fighting and quitting his own party members, his cabinet ministers. So they're gonna have a leadership race. It's a minimum 90 days before a vote, with 300 party members from three provinces required to sign. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're going to need a leadership vote, which isn't going to happen until after March, after the, you know, freezing of parliament has come back. They're going to have probably Mark Carney will take over. I don't know. Really know what other options they have. And then we'll have a stupid election that doesn't matter. And then we'll get the libs out and whatever. And PP is going to take over and everything's going to be worse than it is now. He's going to have no answers for anything. Everything's going to get, you know, tremendously. He might be the last prime minister we ever have. That's certainly possible. It's the irony, you know, of a guy who's been had this fantasy or had this objective in his head since he was a kid that he wants to be prime minister, since at least he was 20. He wrote about it in college, that, you know, not only like it's like needful things, you know, okay, you get to be prime minister for 6 months and then you'll be absorbed by the United States, you know, or something like that. The irony. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon, and we just don't have a government for the meantime. And, we're just going to sit around on our hands and watch everything get worse. And while these people sit around and play games with our future and get rich, and I mean, they've got lots of pay raises and they're not hurting at all. They're not missing any meals. They are essential workers. Remember? They're all essential workers. Spunkbutt says you can already see how passive the conservative voters are since Trudeau's resignation. They really believe things will change. Yeah, they do. And now a lot of them, well, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting conversation where this is going to pan out with the Americans, but just a second. Mega says 51st state fags are retarded. You want to have your kids conscripted into World War III, you idiots. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. Janstein says when PP builds his army of warriors, Canada will take the USA. I'm going to build an army of warriors. Out of what? Out of who? You know? It's a lot to think about. This kind of curveball, I don't want to say it was like nobody ever saw it coming, because I've been kind of warning about this for years. Like, the Americans are not going to tolerate our situation forever. And that could mean any number of things. We are very, very lax on our security. We are a safe haven for criminals and terrorists and money laundering and gangsters. China has an incredible amount of influence and foothold in this country, which is the biggest adversary and rival of the United States, to the point that, I don't want to give anything away, but there is a number of people looking into things across the country suggesting that there is actually quite a large underground network of Chinese influence in this country. They even to the point of building subterranean structures, complexes, and so on, from Vancouver Island to PEI, and in between. We're not on top of that. CSIS isn't on top of that. They're looking for a goat figurine. They're looking for people posting mean tweets while we're getting everything carved out from under us. So I don't know how long would you tolerate that if you were the United States? Secondly, they are facing a situation, and you got to play it like it's a game, like it's chess or anything else. You just take turns, pretend you're the other team. What would you do? What makes sense? They're facing off with very likely a rising The risk and threat of a major confrontation between Russia, China, and Iran is immense, to the point that I don't, barring a miracle, I don't know how it gets avoided. So I need to get my map. We're going to do some Google Earthing right now. Wait, is it even on here? I got to go online to find it probably, right? I'm a little under the weather, so if I'm seeming a little subdued, and that's why. And this stuff is just, it's a lot to think about. It's like, this has just been coming fast the last couple of days, and I still haven't quite, just show me the Google Earth, man. Oh my God. It used to be an app you could just open on your desktop, and do I have to go, oh my, I don't want to install it. I don't want to download it. I just, every single time. I just want to look at a map. Can I do that? Can I look at a map? Am I allowed? There we go. The things you got to put up with. Okay. So, continental United States, okay? You are dealing with the threat from basically the empire of China has become a very significant adversary of the United States way over here. You've also got the Russians over here. You'll notice that Trudeau, on his visit to Mar-a-Lago, he returned, and the Arctic, which is, as you can see, this is Canadian territory. This is all Canada right here. There's NU, that's Nunavut, that's ours. This is Greenland, and this is Canada right here. That's now the North American Arctic. So it's actually not ours anymore, apparently. And the reason for that is, you know, people look at a map and think, oh, Russia's way over here, and they're way over there, and how do they go? Well, they're actually just right here. Actually, that's Russia, and this is, we're right there. So the threat of launching attacks from submarines and aircraft carrier, any number of things, drone swarms from this air, from this region, gathering a foothold into Canada, and even deploying, you know, ground troops of any kind. Like, Alaska is certainly at risk. So it's in the Americans' interest to maintain control over this and have some kind of security over there. And we can't do it. We don't have a navy. We don't have an army. We don't have anything. It's wide open. So in fairness, to expect the United States to just allow this giant back door to just remain unguarded and unwatched forever is preposterous, and it's never going to happen. So that they have to take into consideration. So they may have to lock down this whole continent and just as a defensive measure to prevent any kind of openings for a potential attacks from the east. You know, you may be reminded of there was another country once upon a time on the map here. It's the same mentality. If you're trying to fight off the Allies, you know they're posted up here in the United Kingdom. They're going to try and launch an invasion. Well, you can't just let all of this be neutral, because they will then, instead of congregating in England and having to deal with the Channel and launch its attack into continental Europe, you've got a natural barrier here with the ocean. You could just do it in Belgium and Netherlands and just fucking fire right into Germany from there. They're not going to allow that. That's crazy. Like, do you want your own people to get killed? So you create a buffer zone, and you have to create standoff with your enemy to protect your homeland. So that's primarily the reason that they occupied these countries in the coastal regions of France and so on. But so it's just good sense, you know, when they say, oh, the Germans try to take over the world. It's how you fight wars at this scale, of this magnitude. You have to do these things or you're dead. So is it possible that the United States could annex Canada? Not only is it possible, I think it's probably inevitable unless something serious changes around here. I don't see how that doesn't happen. There's security risk problems. There is monetary problems. They're basically subsidizing our existence to a large degree. And why? This isn't the 70s or the 80s anymore. We don't have a military. We don't have a surplus. We're broke. We're more broke than the Americans. We don't have a single gold dollar to our name. If you have a tenth of an ounce of gold in your house, you have more gold than the Canadian government does. They have 0 ounces. None. None. So we couldn't even buy our way to a better situation. We couldn't be like Saudi Arabia, who's had a joke of an armed forces, but it's got lots of oil money, and it, you know, shored up its weaknesses there with a lot of the money and influence it's got that way through its resources in OPEC and the petrodollar and everything like that. Lose Views says, just want to say thanks for the streams. Plus, you look great. Thank you. I'm working on it. This is probably lean as I've been in a long time. I don't want to get lean out too much more. I won't fit in my clothes. And then, I mean, you got to be at least 185 pounds. I mean, I'm not even a man anymore. You got to be at least 190, 195. But yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Paper Trader says maybe the whole plan was to make Canada gay so they can come in through the back door. Well, it's wide open, just as Trudeau would have liked, I think. Oh, man. Who's this Roger Phillips faggot in Twitter? Just delete him. You're an idiot. Can I ban him? Yeah. Can I mute him forever? I love shit-talking desktop-like warrior badasses. I don't love them. I find them very amusing. There's no greater tell of somebody who's very insecure as a man that he needs to try and impress upon people that he's really tough and you better not fuck around with him on the internet, because there's no real world confirmation of that. He doesn't have any real things to lean on to affirm that he is actually, you know, not a joke. So they go online to seek some kind of validation this way. It's you're cute. You're cute. You can't chirp Roger anymore. Yeah, go ahead. I don't care. I just don't want to look at his diarrhea, his stupid American diarrhea. I don't need to see it. All right. Yeah, where are we at here? Alaska is a boundary, not a... What are you talking about? £200 are not a man. That's right, Sly. All right. Where are we at here? I don't know where to begin. I'm kind of all over the place a little bit. We've got the grooming gang outrage in the United Kingdom is bad, as it should be. That guy should probably be shot for treason. Starmer, the UK Prime Minister, should probably be killed for treason. He should be. I mean, any motivated prosecutor could certainly make that case that he's guilty of treason. You're aware of an industrial scale level of rape and human trafficking of your nation's girls, and you don't do anything because politically it's inconvenient. And then later when it blows up in your face, you act like you had nothing to do with it. So you were willing to sacrifice young girls for your political career? I don't know if there's a higher level of betrayal than that. I don't know if there's something worse anyone can do is willingly stand by and watch young, innocent girls be raped and killed and butchered and trafficked and abused so that you can not be inconvenienced as the prime minister. I mean, incredible. Because it's treason on a battlefield to just walk from your friendly position to the enemy's position and be like, yeah, I'm going to join you guys now. And not really do anything except give them like, there's basically 400 guys over there. Which is worse, right? That's enough to get you shot and killed. And no one disagrees. No one finds that outrageous. But how about deliberately ignoring the mass rape of your... They depend on you. Like, that's kind of the whole point. Like, they're children. They can't really... It's not their responsibility to manage their safety and create, like, community patrols and start up groups of men to, like, run the police department. That's not none of their job. That's actually your job as the state to do that, and you deliberately ignored it. So, that's treason. That's the worst kind. But they're still busy prosecuting and putting people in jail for rioting over those girls being murdered by the same kind of migrant gangs. That's what Keir, whatever his name is, that's what he's busy with doing, putting people in prison for rioting that their people are being butchered in the streets, their children. So they go to jail, and then he says it's just right-wing, far-right advantage-taking and posturing and racism to point out all this mass rape and I mean, you're under enemy occupation, all right? That guy Starmer, he's not British. He's not, I don't know what he is. He's probably not a human being. How could you be? Because it's our humanity is which makes us human, right? And you don't even have the basic human decency to recognize that, yeah, you know what? There's, even if it costs me a lot of money or potentially my political career or whatever, it's not okay for me to ignore the industrial scale rape and destruction of young girls. That's never okay. And if I'm going to get in trouble for that, then so be it. The people that would be angry with me are also obviously also the enemy, because who wouldn't want to stop something like that? Well, Keir Starmer doesn't want to. Get some of that. There's other crazy, stupid news. Well, there's this. I'll get to the good stuff in a little bit, but a lot of it's still percolating in my head. Like, I don't even know what to think about some of this. It's so crazy. At first, I thought he was joking. And then I thought, she's trying to leverage their position for a better deal. They're trying to get Canada to do this or do that. And, you know, he's threatening tariffs and doing all this kind of stuff to try and get us to behave the way that they want. But now, I don't know. And it's because they could. Right, the United States could easily just take this country, and there's nothing we could do about it. And that seems to be all of a sudden on the table. Good job, Maple MAGA. Good job. How many wars did we fight in? How many people died to protect and build and maintain this place and many of our previous prime ministers and administrations even fought ferociously to get American influence out of Canada so it could be run by Canadians, for Canadians. Apparently all that doesn't mean anything anymore. Throw all that in the trash. It's easier to just go with Orange Man. Even though he won't be president very long, will he even finish his term? He's 79 years old. Most 79-year-olds that you know, you kind of worry, I hope they're still alive next Christmas, you know? Because it's part of being 79. And then who's the president after him? Is it Kamala Harris? Is it Bernie Sanders? Is it Elon Musk? Who knows? But it'll be your president. Does that sound good? What's a little treason between friends? Because that is the position that everyone's taking that says, yeah, I want the United States to come in here and take us over. That's treason, literally. You're literally guilty of treason. United States is not Canada. Canada is not the United States. That is a foreign country. You're advocating for a foreign country to come and take control of our home. Why? What do you think you're going to get out of this? First of all, oh, golly, America, we'll have freedom of speech. They don't have freedom of speech in America. They're chopping that to bits right now. And it would take, I don't know, 10, 20 years to merge all of these laws and statutes and everything. The amount of bureaucracy and paperwork and would have to be done. It would take a decade. Meanwhile, maybe your kids get drafted to go fight China. Maybe your city is now a military target. Vancouver certainly would be. Halifax certainly would be. You're now a first strike option for the Russians. How's that sound? Because you want to own the libs or something? It's not surprising when most Canadians don't even know who they are. They couldn't tell you. They couldn't define it. They couldn't say, this is what a Canadian is. This is what makes me Canadian. This is why I'm not an American. I'm not French. I'm not Chinese. I'm not whatever. They can't do that. So it's not surprising that they're just willing to go with whatever. They see it as a business decision. That's how most people see everything, because we live in a materialistic world of money and things and stuff. Money, things, and stuff. That's what runs the lives of these people. How do I get more money so I can buy more things and have more stuff? That's not what a country is. A country is not a business. It's a family. A nation is a large family of people. We're up in the time of money and things and stuff, and Trump's no different. Trump's a businessman. Trump is a businessman, and he speaks the language of mergers and acquisitions. And what would this be other than a merger and an acquisition? See, I don't think he's blowing smoke. I think he's seriously contemplating this. And probably has asked people to look into, hey, what's the upside downside? Like, let's war game this exactly. What would happen? all these maple MAGA fucking people and Trump worshippers going down to CPAC and doing this. You're not American, but you're going to an American conservative conference to basically wave Canadian flags around and say, me too, daddy, I want to play also. Why don't you just take your provincial flag down then? Because apparently you have no attachment to your own national identity and it doesn't mean anything to you. It's worth just give it away. Just give it away. Give it to Washington and by extension, Tel Aviv. Just give it to them. Just let them have it. Enthusiastically. Are you that demoralized? Are you that beside yourself with grief and hopelessness that you'll just let yourself be eaten by the United States? Without a word, without just like that? And they could. We couldn't fight them. And I don't think anybody would. The average man in this country put on two masks, followed arrows around on the floor at the grocery store, injected their children with God knows what, Slava Ukraine, Slava Israel, get the libs out, current thing. I don't think the risk of long-term occupation by the United States, I don't think there's much of a risk there for them. I see a lot of upside for them and a minimal downside. This has been a ambition of the United States for a long time. There was actually a scandal about this in the early mid-2000s. It carried on for years. And in fact, actually, let me find that. Dan Dix from Press for Truth actually went ahead and made a whole kind of 2-hour video about this back in 2012, I think. I don't know where I could find it. About the North American Union and all of these proposed ideas. And that was what Alex Jones called globalism. Bunch of globalists trying to take away our sovereignty and our freedoms by amalgamating us into one state where control will be consolidated in the hands of the few, and you won't have any say. You barely have any say over your life now, and you're contending with Ottawa. How do you think it's going to go with Washington? Much less. You'll have none. No say, ever. You'll be at their mercy forever. It's the kind of attitude of somebody who's like, you get in a fight, you know, they get in a fight with their girlfriend of like 15 years, and then they're just like, you know, they've got their whole lives, everything together. They're you know what? I'm just going to ditch you for some woman I met yesterday. We're going to get married. And yeah, it seems better. She's hot. Good idea. Why can't I find this? I want to find it just to put the link out there, but I know I saw this somewhere. Oh, there it is. Yeah, pressfortruth.ca. United We Fall is the name of it. My internet is so goddamn slow. I'm going to fucking... If you knew how much I paid for internet services and how poorly they worked, you'd be angry too. Here it is here. You can go to pressfortruth.ca/united-we-fall, or you can just search it there. 21st of July, 2012. I remember watching this when it came out. But now it's a good thing. Now the North American Union and the Amero and all of that globalist nonsense consolidating the, you know, hands, consolidating power over your life into the hands of businessmen like Elon Musk and Donald Trump and BlackRock and everybody else. That's now a good thing because Orange Man is orange. It's depressing, man. At least Trudeau and Polly have had the sense to say absolutely not, but it's not really up to you, is it? How are you going to fight any of this off, you know? Strange choice of words. Trudeau says there's not a snowball's chance in hell Canada would become part of the United States. Well, that's not correct, Justin. There's actually a fairly considerable chance that it will. And if you're suggesting people benefit from being partners, well, then why would they just absorb you? Because it's not an alliance, right? It's not a partnership, an alliance. An alliance or a partnership is when you have equal partners or they're within striking distance of each other, that it's mutually beneficial to both of them. But this is more like a orphan children situation We don't have a leadership. We don't have any over. The British Empire died in 1945. We are a homeless child of a nation. We don't have a military. We don't have any money. We don't. We are as weak as we've ever been in history. No, Canada today, right now, on January 7th, as I'm speaking these words, 9:37 local time p.m., 2025, is the weakest it has ever been in its entire history. If there was ever a time to take it down, it's now. With all of the influence operations the Americans have done over the years and regime change and fuckery and screwing other people over for their own benefit, you honestly believe that, oh, Canada is not included in that. We're actually, they respect us. Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you respect a bunch of deadbeat, broke, you know, weaponless losers? Oh, yeah, they have a tons of respect, I'm sure. Where's this? Is this?
Yeah.
I just saw this from Wycliffe earlier. It's kind of funny. Where are we at? Where's my? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm MAGA, baby. Trump all the way. Screw globalism. Combining all of North America under one union? Oh, yeah!
Trump, by the way, has already signaled that he plans to bring, there's going to be millions, there's going to be endless Indians coming to America and everywhere. We need them. We need more people. We need lots of people. Uh-huh. We need doctors and engineers and cooks and restaurants. We need the cooks and the restaurants. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do then, Canada? Are you going to, what happens when Washington does something you don't like? Are you going to have a convoy? You going to do a convoy? You going to protest, bro? See, this is just CSIS and the RCMP and like this is small time beer league, Bush league, incompetent, largely, you know, fat lesbians, incompetent buffoonery. That's kind of what we deal with here. You're going to graduate to the CIA and Mossad and the NSA and the FBI, who are as evil as they are capable. Enjoy. I mean, I guess that's what you apparently you want. So I'll just might as well just cut the shit and we'll just go right to the orange man himself, so you can hear what he's been saying.
Why are we supporting a country 200 billion plus a year? Our military is at their disposal. All of these other things, they should be a state. That's why I told Trudeau when he came down. I said, "What would happen if we didn't do it?" He said, "Canada would dissolve. Canada wouldn't be able to function if we didn't take that 20% of our car market." You know,
there's no way that this conversation took place. Trudeau would never have said that.
Canada wouldn't be able to function if we didn't take that 20% of our car market. You know, they send us hundreds of thousands of cars. They make a lot of money with that. They send us a lot of other things that we don't need. We don't need their cars. And we don't need the other products. We don't need their milk.
Yeah, he's such a respectful guy. It gets worse. This is a good one.
You were working under the assumption that you're serious about making Canada a 51st state of the United States. The leader of the Conservative Party in Canada said, under no circumstances, sure, will ever be the 51st state.
Maybe he won't win, but maybe he will. I don't care.
You had suggested
that. Listen, I don't care what he says.
I don't care what he says. He's talking about Polyev, right? And Trudeau, too. They said, well, we're never going to agree to this. We're never going to be part of the... I don't care what they say. Maybe he wins. Maybe he doesn't win. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. And all our leaders can do is say, uh-uh, but you don't have any way to stop them. You have nothing.
Sir Lopez, you said you were considering military force to acquire. The leader of the Conservative Party in Canada said, under no circumstances will it ever be the 51st state.
Maybe he won't win, but maybe he will. I don't care.
You had suggested.
Listen, I don't care what he says.
But Sir Lopez, you said you were considering military force.
He doesn't care what the leader and likely incoming leader of the nation think about this proposal. He doesn't care. I see.
To acquire Panama and Greenland, are you also considering military force to annex and acquire Canada?
No. Economic force. Because Canada and the United States, that would really be something. You get rid of that artificially drawn line, and you take a look.
Artificial? It's not artificial. What do you mean artificial? Get rid of that stupid line somebody put there. Yeah, that's our national boundary. Like, that's what separates my house from your house.
Look at what that looks like. And it would also be much better for national security. Don't forget.
For your national security, yeah, not for ours.
We basically protect Canada. But here's the problem with Canada. So many friends up there.
Less now.
I love the Canadian people. They're great. But we're spending hundreds of billions a year to protect it.
Yeah, so we do have a massive trade deficit. Like, I think you said it was $200 billion a year. Had they built the Keystone Pipeline? Had they developed the Arctic? There's a million ways we could have made a lot of money, and we were never allowed to. Because even with the software, it did it anyway. Oh, for crying out loud. Hang on. I got to go check all of this now. The weather's not even the problem this time. It's just... Did it sync me on... I got to go back and check all the apps. Is it just Twitter that died? This is annoying. I need like waiting room music or something to play. Can't tell. It says live, but I can't tell if that's... I don't know. It seems like it's still on. Seems to be, perhaps. I don't know. All right. Normally it drops it quickly if you... Oh, and it's happening again. Okay. So three internet connections isn't enough? Maybe I need four? Do I need five? Do I need 50? How many internet connections do I need? I don't even want to say what I would do, but all of my stuff is falling apart right now. Hang on. Is it back up? Okay. Let me just read some of these. Brian says, "Oy vey, you're a much better guy than the simple guy from the prairies." Yeah. He's going to be a big help. Not. Bearded Indian, why the hell do they call raping grooming? Well, because it doesn't sound as offensive as raping, which is what they're doing. You can't be mean to brown people. That's the worst thing in the world you could be. Kill yourself and let your children be murdered and raped instead. That's better than being called the R word. The bearded Indian says, every time I read about these rapes, I always ask myself, where the hell are the fathers with pitchforks and rope? They're in jail, actually. They actually jailed a lot of them. Did the dads just accept these rapes? No, they actually, there's one where they tracked them down and knew where the house was. The girls were physically in the hall, present in the house, but there was like 20 men inside. So these two dads, they call the police. Police arrested the fathers for hate. That's Britain. They're probably the most contemptible police force on earth, the British cops. I don't even want to listen. We have our hands full with as bad as Canada is. I don't even want to mentally go into the United Kingdom, but man, they are in bad shape. And I don't know how they're going to pull out of it. He says, I watched a white British chick testifying about, gang rapes, and she made sure to underline it wasn't a racial thing, though. It is, though, actually. Then I completely lost all empathy. Are these people mental? No, they're demoralized and browbeat. And there's actually groups in the United Kingdom. I can't remember what they're called now, but a few of the guys told me or showed me there's links to these institutions. They show up when something like this happens. If your child or your family member or someone is killed, raped, whatever, because of migrant gangs or just nons in general, they show up to educate you to make sure that you're not going to say any of the wrong things. So before the TV cameras or anybody shows up, they already have the script. They know what they're supposed to say and all that kind of stuff. It's very sinister. It's very sick. It's very sadistic. And yeah. They might as well have killed their children themselves. Those parents never deserved those children, and they should have just murdered them themselves. They'd rather virtue signal for progressivism and not hurt anybody's feelings
than demand anything be done, than protect anyone else's children from the fate that befell yours. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Don't say any mean. Don't tweet anything mean. There's thousands of people in Britain in jail for tweeting. Much more than there is anything else. And it's not just there. It's everywhere. This is how it is around the world. I've been saving this for, I don't know, in case it ever came up, but this is what I mean. A 68-year-old Sydney man, this is Australia, locked up for Nazi salutes. Same day, a pedophile teacher was given bail. So no bit. Straight to jail. You're diddling kids. It's fine. Bail. The police, the court, the government, all of that. It's under enemy control. There's no other way to explain it. There's no other way to unlock that key door. There's no other way to finish the crossword puzzle. Nothing else fits. It's not incompetence. It's not an accident. It's not a lack of funding. It's they don't want to. They don't want to. They want to arrest people for tweeting. They want to go after white people for sticking up for themselves. They want to do these things because they get to feel like they're a police officer doing cop stuff, and there is zero chance that they're going to get hurt because none of these people are going to shoot them, stab them, suicide bomb them, come to their workplaces and shoot everybody with Kalashnikovs while they're drawing cartoons. That is never going to come from the British working class people, so they have no problem stepping on them, and they ignore everyone else they do because they know what the consequences will be. I don't feel bad at all. People were like, how could you laugh at that? When there were the riots, people were throwing bricks at the cops and some of them were getting good. Time to start earning that money, you fucking thug. You pig, you disgusting pig. They'll always shoot back. Well, we're doing our best. No, you're not. If that's your best, you need to quit. At best. I couldn't imagine betraying the memory of your children or your loved ones or your family or anyone because you don't want people to say that you might be racist. It's insane. How long before this starts to become a problem in Canada? We're a few years behind Europe, but we're getting there. We're mass importing people faster than anyone on Earth is, actually. Camby says, great news. The ghost bee hornets are attracted to the curry and the smell of feces. Success. Oh, God. Well, they're very stoic warriors. They're able to put up with a lot. Apparently, they'll endure anything for the cause. You must be one hell of a bee queen, Camby, to be able to overcome this. Mav says a UK police chief said in an interview that if they arrested pedophiles, the country would collapse because just about every important person with an office would have to be arrested. Then good. There's always an excuse, man. There's always an excuse not to do what has to be done. There's always an excuse not to do what needs to be done. Oh, but it would be hard, so I won't do it. But it has to be done. And the longer you ignore it, the worse the consequences will be. If your country is run by pedophiles, you don't have a country. You have a brothel filled with children. And what kind of fucking police chief are you, faggot? Rope yourself. Put a gun in your mouth and pull the trigger, whoever that was. Go finish your police duty shift and go hit the whiskey with your fucking four divorces and your piece of shit legacy and eat a gun, you piece of garbage. Maybe they could chop you up and sell you as kebabs at the market like they did to those girls. I have no sympathy. I hope you do it in front of your family on Christmas morning. It's what you all deserve. Just hide. Oh, not me. I can't have any consequence. Not me. It would be too hard. No. I'm only paid to protect people. I'm only paid to, you know, maintain security and protect people from violent crime. Most prioritized violent crime. Violent crime is like the top priority. Nah, it's tweets now. We got to go after tweets. Rapes, murders, terrorism. Tweeting. Facebook posts. That's where it's at. I hope there's a hell because those people will go there. Hiding and letting other people bear the consequences of your cowardice and suffer and bleed because you can't be bothered and you don't have... It's unforgivable. Because you're still taking the money. Imagine knowing that and like, I'll just arrest people for tweets and collect my money to do that. In Canada, they get paid $150,000 to do nothing. They get paid half as much in the United States. There's something for you to consider, cops. Don't need you anymore. Won't need the RCMP anymore. Everyone's going to expand the FBI anyway. We'll just roll you into there. You'll get paid a lot less. Probably get replaced by Americans anyway. Because they can't trust you. Can't trust anybody in the Canadian establishment. We're filthy with traitors. Every Canadian establishment, regime, prime minister's cabinet has been compromised since the early 90s, according to CSIS. Every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. There's 12 to 50 members of parliament on the payroll of foreign hostile, quote, enemy nations. At least that we are potentially aware of. And we're going to walk into an election soon without addressing this? I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not going to vote because it's pointless. It's totally pointless. But if I were, I would like to know which ones are actively working on the benefit or on behalf of China, India, and Israel, and everywhere else. So I would not vote for them. But we're not going to do that because that would, you know, like the police chief in the UK said, if you did that, if you got rid of everybody on the enemy payroll, you wouldn't have any politicians to vote for. We can't have that. So there's always an excuse. And as if the solution is hard. Do you know what it takes to be a politician? Nothing. 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 A willingness to lie. You're not bothered by fucking people over. Read the script. Read what's on the screen. Stamp this. Hug them. Smile. Look here. Sign that. Get drunk, go to the gala dinner, have your staff compose a tweet. Like, it's not a real job. You can be, every politician in this country could be replaced with anyone, anywhere. Just from volunteers in the area where I live, in the Halifax area, I could restaff with vastly superior personnel everyone in Ottawa, every single last goddamn one of them. There is no credentials, there's no training, there's no experience, there's nothing any of these people have that makes them invaluable, irreplaceable. Oh, geez, what would we do without them? Well, we wouldn't have pedophile gangs. We wouldn't have grooming gangs. We wouldn't have terrorists. We wouldn't have organized crime. Maybe we'd have a ruling caste class of people, ruling class of people that actually gave a damn about this place. Because at the end of the day, isn't that the most important thing to have as an attribute? Two different kinds of candidate. You got one, well-spoken, polished, looks good, wears a nice suit, says lots of things I like to hear. They seem very qualified. They fit the character mold of the politician that I've grown accustomed to over my life. So that's what I want to see as normal. That's what I'm used to. So I like that. I want that to stay the same. People don't like change. They don't like anything to be upheaved or moved around. So there's an expectation of what these people are supposed to look like, sound like, and act like. On the other hand, you've got candidate two. Not really well spoken. Not particularly tells you what you want to hear. Not pleasant to listen to a lot of what's going on. But it keeps them up at night. The people around them suffering actually bothers them. It really bothers them. That's their number one priority and concern, is how do I fix this? How do I fix this? How do I make this better? I would choose that person 100 times out of 99 over the other one, over the polished, packaged, prepared, groomed professional politician that attended the World Economic Forum or the Bilderberg Summit. They act like these are these problems and stuff that we deal with are, oh, it's just beyond you. You couldn't even hit. You wouldn't even understand, bro. You wouldn't even understand it. This is the kind of thing that bankers do. They invent a lot of cumbersome language and words and terms and vocabulary that does it's very confusing on purpose, that makes it seem very sophisticated and complicated, that it's much easier to trick you and people's eyes just kind of glaze over and you just trust them. Well, it must be super technical and hard. It's not really that technical or hard. They make it seem that way to keep you away from the scam. That's the same thing as politicians. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard. It's really not that big of a deal. Random corporals as Section 2 ICs in the Army have more real leadership experience than everyone in Parliament does. Just basic fairness. What's right? What's wrong? Managing concerns and making sure people's needs are met. Morale is good. Everybody has what they need to succeed. They're set up for success. They're looked after short-term, mid-term, long-term. That's part of your job in the Army as a leader. Not if you're a politician, though. If you're a politician, your job is to make sure you're looked after, make sure your pension gets fulfilled. So just drag out this fucking circus act as long as it can. Kill as many Canadians as possible. Doesn't matter. Jagmeet needs his pension. Sorry, it's Jimmy. Jimmy Dollywall needs his pension. You could go the trucker convoy. Maybe not that. Any random gathering, Canada Day, 50,000 people, get up on a stage, take a stick or a boomerang, or maybe just a handful of glitter. Throw it into the sky. Whoever it lands on, that's your new government. Though you choose from those people who's going to do what. And I guarantee they would all be a massive upgrade over everyone that's in that building right now. It's going to be a wild year. It's already gross. He knew all about it. They always know. Frostback says, we're looking down the barrel of World War III land grab between Canadians, U.S., China, and Russia, and two kinds of India. Yeah, we're everybody's gangbang partner, I guess. Pat says, Hitler was an infantry corporal, just saying. Don't ever sleep on the infantry. You never know what's going to get produced out of that factory. Spend any more time on this. I mean, I guess we could. You want to know how bad it really is over there? And as if the same kind of things aren't happening in Canada, of course they are. I mean, just in case if you were, like, is there crazy Canadian stuff going on in Canadian courts? Yeah, of course there is. Imagine getting your sentence cut in half because actually I'm like fucking native and stuff, eh? Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. The crime you did is now not important. Handgun, ammunition, methamphetamines. So he's selling meth. He's an armed drug dealer selling methamphetamines. But it turns out he's 1/28,000th native. So his sentence is now only 30 months. His education ended in grade 6. Although he identifies as Métis, he had a little connection to his cultural heritage growing up. Like, basically anyone can identify as Métis. That's so stupid. So, yeah. So Starmer knew what was happening to children. This is, he's, you know, because Elon Musk is drawing attention to this. And if you're like, who is this guy? This is like the 15th British prime minister in as many months. I don't even know. They had a head of lettuce for a few months, I think. They're trying this guy now for some reason, but yeah, he's well aware. But it's actually just far-right bandwagoning is all it is. He allegedly covered for Jimmy Savile. If you don't know who that is, Saville, he's the British Jeffrey Epstein, but worse, I think. Quite a few people in the British government were implicated in that. But again, keep in mind as you're reading this and being outraged at it, and this is part of the Muslim pivot from the Jewish overlords would much rather have you attacking Islam. That keeps you busy and divided against each other, and you're not going to pay any attention or notice how all the Islamists got here in the first place, which is them. So let's just do that. And right on cue, there's Tommy Robinson. Is he coked out? Probably. Calls us the far right. Tommy, you're not far right. You're not right wing. You're a fucking liberal bitch. How many tickets did you sell with Ezra Levant, by the way? It was 50, wasn't it? Wasn't it 50 tickets? 50 people cared to listen to a fucking thing you had to say in this country. I mean, we sell, Phil. Thousands, right? Yeah, thousands and thousands. 50, though. Tommy got 50. He's a massive Zionist and has been wholly supported by the Israeli establishment in his crusade against the Islamification of England for a long time because it suits their interests. And now that Elon and everybody is under fire for why are you importing millions of Indians and all of this, and why is there so much Jewish influence in the government? Oh, look, everybody, Muslim gangs and stuff. That's what's going on. I mean, yeah. If you've got wolves in your pasture and your enclosure eating your animals and stuff, you got to deal with that. You got to kill those wolves. But how'd they get in? How'd they get in, Tommy? Gangs of predominantly Pakistani men, which is just India. It's the same place. Been raping and torturing. That's not true. Yeah, it is. It is. Raping and torturing vulnerable underage girls over the past 3 decades. Several independent inquiries having indicated systemic failures to investigate the crimes because it would be racist. 3 separate reports published in 13, 14, and 2015 revealed local politicians and police covered up the rapes. Cool. So when are they being shot for treason? When are they being lined up against a wall and shot? You go to jail in England for rioting because little girls are being butchered in the streets, but you can cover up a systemic industrial scale rape and torture of children, and that's fine. The ringleader of a 24-hour-long rape gang attack against a 12-year-old got a 3-year sentence in prison. That's funny. Chris Lysak did 2 years for something that didn't even happen. But, you know, white guy, right? White privilege. So Elon is drawing attention to that, and he's trying to use Twitter to direct its momentum and take steam out of what I was just previously talking about to go after what's going on here. It'll buy them some time. This is interesting, too. This is the political terms mentioned in UK newspapers, and I doubt Canada would be much different from 2011 to 2015. So Grooming gang appeared 4,659 times, but racism appeared 382,69 times. 382,000. Or 8,101% more often. 82 times more than grooming gangs. And then far right, underneath that, 231,000. Britain, racism, 75. So basically the top five categories, George Floyd is here. Anti-racism. It's all anti-white messaging. That's what the media is for. And they enable the killing and rape and destruction of kids. Because people assume that if this was happening, they would know about it because the media would tell them. Wrong! Wrong. The media hates you. And in, you know, I was hanging on to this one for a little while too. I knew that it would come in handy sometime. Why do they do this? Well, because they need them. They need the votes, just like in Canada. Why does PP dress up in costumes every 10 minutes? Because he needs the support of Indians and Indian money for himself, for his career, for his elitist career, for his bank account. Here we have Nigel Farage, beast, talking about how we must incorporate Islam and embrace Islam or else we won't be able to win elections. I won't be able to be a special boy anymore if we don't do that.
But the nub of it is, we have a Muslim population in Britain growing.
It's 3% of the country.
By about 75% every 10 years. Right? That's just where we are.
Mm-hmm. You could just deport them.
If we politically alienate the whole of Islam, we will lose. We'll lose.
So how does one include
them? We will lose. By 2050, goodness knows what kind of a terrible state we're going to be in.
What a little bitch this guy is. Who is supporting and following Nigel Farage? Give yourself a swirly in a gas station toilet, okay? Can't do that. We have to bow down to the Muslims who have taken over London. They're pretty much all just in London. The major cities is where they're at. The rest of England, no, but. And your Pakistani Muslim mayor of London said, hey, being attacked by terrorists and having Muslim rape gangs, that's just part and parcel of living in a major city, he said. Remember that? That's just how it is now. So you got to get used to it. No, I don't have to get used to it. Maybe we deport you. And if you don't want to go willingly, we could just shoot you in the face. You're carrying water for organized rapes and human trafficking of underage girls. Like we're past talking. Yeah? Imagine if that was your family, or your mother, or your sister, or your daughter.
Oh, well, if we politically alienate Islam, we'll lose in 50 years.
Or you get rid of them, and then they're not here in 50 years. They can't make decisions. This is another thing. One of the hallmarks of a good leader is that they can make decisions. Timely, effective, firm decisions. None of these people can do that. Compromise, 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 compromise. Keeping people happy. Vote for me. Give me the money. Compromise, compromise. Nothing's being decided. Just give, give, give. Let them take everything. They can't even decide. No, we choose the British people. We choose the Canadian people. We choose the American people. They won't choose their own people over foreigners. They can't even do that. The most basic decision. You have one cup of water. Two people in front of you will die if they don't get water. You must give the water to one person. One is a British citizen, man, family, been here forever, thousands of years. Since the fucking Vikings invaded the British Isles. That's how long his family's been there. Or Pinder. And they go, I don't know, I can't. You can't make that decision. But you must, or they both die. And they either let both people die or they give the water to Pinder because, you know, don't be racist, bro. So if your job, you're the leader of your people, and at the very basic day one kindergarten, first problem in the exam, you fail. You're not a leader. You're a fucking parasite. Here's another question. For all these countries, especially like Canada, everybody's broke. Nobody has any money. The average working class person can't afford to live. Our government decided, hey, we're all essential. We're all essential workers. Even though they stay home, they jack off on Zoom calls instead of running the country. True story. Voting to give themselves pay raises. They get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. Most of them are millionaires, multimillionaires. The cabinet ministers are all making multiple pensions. We're going to raise your taxes over and over and over again. We're going to make you pay for it. Do you think they would do it for free? Oh, I love Canada. I love Britain. I love America. I would do anything for this, but I would work for free. Would you? Would you work for free? How about 1 year? How about for 1 year as a gesture of solidarity and cohesion? And a signal that you have some understanding of the suffering and struggling the average person is going through. How about a 1 year pay freeze for all politicians? How about that? That sounds fair to me. Oh, you can't survive without it? But you've been getting paid millions of dollars. We're expected to just figure it out when you said stay home, stay safe, lockdown, not allowed to work, don't run your business, don't go to work. Fucking figure it out. Here, have $20 of CERB money. Why can't you do that? You're the leader. In the army, the leader eats last. He sleeps last. All of the good things come last, if there's any left. If there's any time to sleep, which there often isn't, you don't get to sleep. Well, I need to sleep. I'm the general. No, you don't. I have to eat the most. No, you don't. No. Your job is the people underneath you. And if you can't take care of them and look after them, you're a bad fucking leader. And if you're taking things because you need to eat first and sleep first, and you need to have your pillows fluffed first, you're not a leader. You're a parasite. I've never seen a single example. I can think, like, Ron Paul seemed okay. No one in Canada is coming to my mind anytime soon. Show me the resume. Show me the sacrifices you've made. If your political career is just this, it's just a graph line that goes parabolic like that. Here's your standard of living, your quality of life, your income, the stuff, the material things that you love. It just goes up and up and up and up and up and up. While everyone else's has been going down and down and down and down. And you think that's okay. That's appropriate. You deserve that. I need another pay raise. They vote for it in April. Watch for it. April, hey, I guess we need another pay raise, guys. Yay, woo, stay ahead of inflation. I think they're the second best paid politicians on planet Earth. Are they doing the second best job of leadership on planet Earth? Here's what I would propose. Whatever if you're a federal politician or a municipal politician, provincially or federally, depending on which one you belong to, your pay, what you get paid, is the aggregated median income of all the people you're responsible for. You get paid what the average person gets paid. And your job is to represent them as a leader of their community. That's it. It's pretty easy, you know. You don't have to go to a coal mine. You don't got to risk your life in a factory doing sketchy stuff. You don't have to serve. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there in a building and go, meek. If that, rubber stamp, yes, no, but like it's... They act like it's a hard job, like they work hard. They had to stay up all night one time voting, and they all acted like they just fucking crawled out of Vimy Ridge. They just survived the Battle of Stalingrad. Pee-pee had mud on his boots like the common people. What do we need them for? We don't need them. I've long predicted this, that like they're obsolete. Politicians are obsolete. They don't quite know it yet. And I said, soon you're going to start seeing kind of the influencer person taking up that space. Because they have their own platform. They have their own outlet and their own means of communicating with people. And they're much more accessible. And people know who they are. Name me 25 people in the Conservative Party right now that isn't Pierre Poilievre or any of the two or three Indian guys running the place or the gay Jewish lesbian woman. Can you do that? Probably not. I can't because I don't know. You never see from them. You don't see them. You don't hear from them. They don't do anything. They're just there. Andrew Tate is now launching. He seems serious. And his brother has launched the Bruv Party, B-R-U-V. And he intends to run for office and attempt to become the Prime Minister of Great Britain. You can laugh, but he's rich and famous. What do you got, establishment people? How long before this starts to catch on? And you're going to start seeing more and more of this. And it will, because it's a popularity contest is what it comes down to. And once this kind of distance is closed from people like that who are interested in these kinds of things to where the politicians are, it's all over. How does Keir Starmer line up against Andrew Tate, honestly, with the average voting man especially? Badly? He loses 50-1, 100-1? If you have the notoriety, the name recognition, and the money to foot the bill on top of it, you got a real shot. We'll see what happens. But that's the future. That's the future of politics. It's not these dinosaur people. They don't know yet that they don't matter, but they'll understand when it's too late. Because they're not very smart. Oh, look, we're going to get multiple tax hikes. Joke's on you. We're broke. There's nothing to take. Canadians should brace for multiple tax increases as they prepare for the year. Many tax increases are upcoming. Also, but the politicians can prepare for their annual pay increase. Don't forget about that, everybody. They did such a good job. Good job. Let's go. Many tax increases are upcoming. The Federation highlighted increases to payroll taxes, carbon tax, alcohol tax, temporary sales tax, holiday. Oh, man. Yeah, it's all Trudeau that did all this stuff. They're raising the mandatory contributions to the pension plan, which won't exist for much longer. Combined increase will cost up to $400 a year just for the pension increase. A Canadian making $81,200 or more, or otherwise the top 10% of the country, we are so bad off here, will contribute taxes worth a combined $5,507 this year. Their employer will also be forced to contribute another $5,930. We have one of the highest tax burdens in the world. Another 2% increase on booze. Yep. Capital gains tax is being increased. Oh, man. Hey, when you're a broke country with no gold reserves whatsoever, it's not a good idea to mass print money that you don't have. So much so that you dwarf the spending of World War II during the COVID experience, which is what we did. They borrowed and printed more money than what the Second World War cost us. From 2020 to 2024. Spent it on, I don't know. I don't know where it went. It's gone. So there's no money. The debt that we have to service is insane. Where's the debt? What's the debt clock at? Let's just take a look at this here. Why do they need more taxes? This is why. Because they spend all the money that they have. They don't have more. So they have to get more from you. And until you have nothing left, they will keep raising taxes. Soon, I don't know if they've done it yet, they will implement a tax that makes it imperative or required to pay if you want to leave the country. Oh, where do you think you're going? No, that's $10,000. Because otherwise, everyone will just move out and go away. This is what all communist countries do. well, as they're on the way out and falling apart. They make it very, very expensive and difficult for people to leave, because otherwise they would, and the country would collapse. And then the parasite politicians living off of your blood money wouldn't get to continue having a nice time as a special boy. So your individual share as a Canadian citizen is $29,742. If we were to pay off our national debt, you, all of us need to contribute that number. And it goes up nationally by $109 million a day, collectively, spread over everyone. $4 million an hour. I'm sorry. $4.5 million per hour. The current national debt is $1.2 trillion. How are you going to pay all that back? How are you going to service that debt? You guys have credit. It's not complicated. It's not much different. You got a credit card. You got a mortgage. You got a bank loan. Line of credit. Yeah? What happens if you owe money on it? You owe $10,000 on it. Well, you have to make a monthly payment, right? And the idea is that you make these payments over a predetermined amount of time, and then say in 6 months or 6 years or whatever, it gets paid off and the balance is zero. But you pay a certain amount of interest on that loan, which is, of course, usury. Used to be illegal, used to be punishable by death and everything, but it's slavery is what it is. It's indentured servitude. It puts people into working poor slave debt for the rest of their lives. And, you know, I saw that Blair Cottrell shared a story from a guy, 40-something years old, early 40s, 42, 43. He can't afford a house. They won't give him one because he won't live long enough to pay off the debt. He's 42. He's got $50,000 in savings. He doesn't have enough money to buy a house. They won't give him a loan because you'll be dead before it gets paid off. Nope, too high risk. It's impossible. You can't buy anything. You can't live anywhere anymore. You can rent it from a landlord. You can rent one of Pierre Polyev's landlord homes. Why not do that? What's wrong with that? I mean, he's got multiple houses and, you know, $25 million, but hey, he's worked a really hard, long time, difficult job sitting in a chair and sometimes saying Mr. Speaker and stuff. He's earned that $25 million. Now, your farmer uncle that's been doing backbreaking sun up to sundown labor for the last 25 years. No, he's broke and we need to raise the carbon taxes and we need to actually seize that land. Actually, Bill Gates wants that now. Going to take that farmland out from under him. He's not an essential worker, not like Pierre is, not like politicians are. They're essential. They're essential workers. So not only do we have, this is the kind of people we have piloting the ship, and now the hungry eyes of the orange man, like Sauron from Lord of the Rings. What's going on over there? I think I would like to have some of that Canadian cake. That's who's going to protect us from that. Smarmy, insecure, pathetic little dweebs and dorks, whores, drug addicts, people that have never held a real job. They've never done anything difficult ever in their lives. They thought staying up all night to vote was one of the hardest things they could imagine. And it was so cold, they didn't go home till 3 or 4 in the morning. They had to leave their Maserati running with the heat on from outside, so it wasn't that cold when they got in on the leather seats. You don't even know how hard it was for them and their BMWs and their Mercedes and all of their designer clothes and Rolex. Have you fucking seen them? Are you serious? John Diefenbaker used to walk to work as a prime minister. He would just get up from his house and just stroll over to the fucking Parliament building with a suitcase. Not anymore. We need motorcades, and we need designer suits, and we need security guards, and we need fucking, I need a Rolex, I need a BMW, I need all this, because I'm a party kiki. Now we're being threatened by the most powerful country on earth, and they have platitudes and tweets to respond with. Snowball's chance in hell. How are you going to stop them? With what? You don't have an army. You're not going to do it that way. We don't have any money. We can't bribe them or leverage our resources or wealth to any kind of position that could be used to stave off any kind of pressure. Our society is so demoralized and broken that nobody gives a damn. Half of the people would just let it happen and welcome it in the first place. If they want to take the country, they will, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what decades of mismanagement and bad leadership gets you. We're going to rebuild the military. Why didn't you do that with Stephen Harper? Stephen Harper is busy destroying the military. Stephen Harper and Harper's conservatives played politics with me and my friends. Now, a lot of them are dead. What do I mean by that? Well, we were deployed in the Kabul zone of northern Afghanistan until operations started opening up in the south, in the Taliban hotbed of Kandahar province. And Stephen Harper and his conservatives decided that's what we need to be doing. We need to be frontline fighting like the Americans because, quote, Harper liked the optics of being a wartime prime minister. He liked it. He liked to LARP as an important boy. The only problem is the British and Americans made no less than three different pointed attempts to say, you need to give us that AO, that area of operations. That you can't handle that. It is huge. The amount of area that you're supposed to be dealing with is massive. It's like the size of New Brunswick on its own. And you have 500 men to do it with. This is ridiculous. Not only is it ridiculous, it's incredibly dangerous because you can't be everywhere at once. You're forced to roll around in these basically 300, 400 man battle groups, which is what we did, and just play whack-a-mole. Go from one place to the next, around in circles, over and over and over. Oh, they're over there. Go get them. They kill a few of your guys and they disappear. You kill some of theirs and they disappear. Oh, they're over there now. And they go over there and get them. Oh, they went back to that place. Go get them. Go get them. Go. You can't hold any ground. You can't enforce any kind of will anywhere. We didn't have the manpower. We didn't have the people for it. And the Americans and the British both, two different generals, wrote this in their memoirs and said, give us that AO. You're losing soldiers unnecessarily. It's way too No, the conservative government wanted it because the optics. He felt important. We were contributing. We were being a special boy. And then we just gave up and walked away. They ever going to apologize for that? Or so, yeah, they all those guys died literally for no reason. For Stephen Harper's political ambitions. That's what they died for. That's the real reason. You want it? Why are there dead Canadian bones in Afghanistan? Because the politicians had a career they were trying to advance. That's why. That's the fucking reason. Yeah, you care so much about the military, don't you? It could have been saved back then. There was still time. Now, I don't think so. Who are you even going to recruit? Indians? You're going to mass recruit? Probably, right? We couldn't field a single division. Not one. We might have three, and I'm being generous, 3,000 to 4,000 combat troops. That's on paper. The real number is probably half that. Okay, we couldn't contain if PEI revolted, if Charlottetown and Summerside got together and were like, we are now independent PEI, go fuck yourselves. There's nothing you can do to stop us. Lick my butt, you know. We don't have the troops to put that down. We don't have the manpower to deal with that. Never mind anything more than that. So Trump's not wrong. He says they rely on our military to protect them. He's 100% right. Ottawa has taken that for granted forever. They just assume, oh, America will just always do that for free because we're fucking stupid and fat. Hey, let's go pal around with the Chinese. Maybe I can sell out some more of my countrymen and get some of that juicy Chinese money. Yang shang bi dong. Sing another holiday song in Chinese, PP. They're not actually leaders. They don't care about any of us. They're just playing a game. The game is get elected, stay elected, make money, go home, be rich. That's the game they're playing. Feed ego. Be narcissist. Look at me.
My legacy.
They're as fickle as the wind in the seasons. Whatever's popular, whatever they think will get them in today is how it goes. No wonder nobody's any respect has no respect for us. Would you respect somebody like that? I gotta go read some chats. Weibo, how are you? He says, Trudeau literally went to work less days than my part-time kindergarten son went to school. Yeah, and he probably got paid. I mean, what's the prime minister's salary? It's only like $200,000 or $300,000, right? But he's worth considerably more than that. They've leveraged their political position to invest in companies. For instance, did you know that Gerald Butts, one of Trudeau's best buddies, and I believe his wife, his family anyway, either him and his wife or more people than that, are heavily involved in the medical marijuana company Aphria, A-P-H-R-I-A. Aphria or Aphria. So Trudeau legalizes marijuana, and these companies all get government contracts to service the military, the police, and all these kinds of things. So they make big money. But before this even happens, oh, look, isn't that convenient that Gerald Butts and all these guys, oh, they were making mad bank on investing in these companies. It just so happens to be the ones that they, yeah, they're cronies. It's cronyism. Trudeau, they didn't, oh, we need to legalize weed because, no, they did it to make money. And they made a lot of money doing it. They didn't decriminalize it. They didn't go, you know what? It's just a plant. It grows in the ground. Who fucking cares? Whatever. Do what you're going to do. That's what they should have done. They went, no. I'm going to make mad money on this. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into the drug game and compete rather than how long till those government men. Oh, here's a story. You guys like stories, right? Did you know? Friend of ours, someone who would know, who is in this field. Do you know that Canadian pharmacies, they'll give you cocaine, heroin, booze, meth? Because if you're a drug addict and you're trying to, you know, detox and like come off the drug, well, they can't just let you go cold turkey. We'll give you a prescription of cocaine week to week to try to wean you down. Yes, that's real. I was told this by a pharmacist face to face. I said, you have to be kidding. No, they're not kidding. Like we're losing. We're losing our way. We're losing our way of life. We're losing everything. When I was a kid, the idea that this would come to pass was preposterous, asinine. Never happened. Impossible. Government issued cocaine. Really? You get caught with cocaine, your life is over. Not anymore. You go, you know what? We gave up. We're just like, all right, fine. It's just here now. It's just whatever. A lot of people have done it. A lot of people get. I've done it. Not proud of it. And lots of people have done. It doesn't mean it's a good thing and that it should exist. I've also been, you know, hammered quite a few times. I've done a lot of stupid things I don't do anymore and shouldn't do. That doesn't mean that. Oh well, let's just let it be here. What I would have rathered it not been available. That it was completely illegal and eradicated and it just didn't exist in the country. Wouldn't that be better? We've given up on that idea. We gave up on that fight because it was too hard. So, and they're all in on it. There's communities in this country of 2,000 people or less that are, oh, I got to be careful. I don't want to single anyone out. Let's say isolated. And they have lots of violent crime, break and enters, robbery, stick-ups, home invasions. Because the drug problem is so out of control. So many people are so addicted to drugs. This is what they're doing now. In small, rural, isolated, middle of nowhere communities where there's four or five RCMP officers and it's going on for years and years. And apparently they've got better things to do, the police. In these small, rural, isolated communities where nothing ever happens, everybody seems to be on crack, meth, and cocaine. But, hey, just sit there and hand out traffic tickets, you fucking swine. How is it? They've got to be in on it, right, guys? How do you have a police detachment in a town that filthy and loaded with drugs, and that's not your top priority? Especially if there's only one way in and out of the town. That's the beautiful part. There's one way in and out of this town. One. And they're like, I just can't figure it out. You probably shouldn't be a cop then. Or you're being paid not to investigate. I don't know. Because the thing about drugs is it's big money. And big money calls the shots. In a country that cares about money and stuff and things, materialism. We didn't used to. It used to be an indulgence. We used to indulge in materialism. Like a treat. Like a vacation. Like a reprieve, you know? Instead of it being that, it's now the central and total focus of our society and existence. The only thing that matters is making money, getting money, having more money, more stuff, more things. And in the rear view, what we've left behind is what's important. What actually matters? Our well-being, our health, our spirit, our souls, our children? No. All of that takes a backseat to money, stuff, and things. It's all just about money, stuff, and things. Right, Elon? Right, Trump? Right, Maple, MAGA? Right, all you fucking... Sure, I mean, in 50 years, this place will be a giant garbage heap like India. It'll be a violent cesspool that makes Detroit from RoboCop look like a nice place to take your family. But, you know, global corporations will have made killer profits, though. So, like, duh. No brainer. We made lots of money at the cost of the country, which was the whole reason we had a government in the first place. We traded our home for a temporary, like a scratch ticket, like a lottery ticket. Like these people that surrendered their bodily autonomy for cookies and ice cream bars. I want to be able to travel. And they didn't even travel anywhere. What's to become of us? I don't know. We're going to find out, though. Handsome Sven says, I support Jeremy for dictator of Canada. It's the only way to right the ship. The fact you don't want the position only makes you more qualified. In all honesty, you'd need a dictator at this point. So it's not, I mean, we've always been brainwashed or educated or whatever word you want to use. They're just words that mean different things depending on the context, right? I think the road, the word originally comes from the Romans. Dictat. Basically, there's one guy and whatever he says goes. Now you'd say, well, that's just tyrannical craziness. Why would you? There's different, like a toolbox, right? There's different tools for different jobs. If you're in a situation where that everything is stable, under control, very large, sophisticated, you know, like an empire or a republic, a huge, big thing, you can have a democratic republic, a Congress, these kinds of things, to manage the day to day and do this kind of stuff. But if you're in the drawback is it takes a long time to reach consensus. There's all these people arguing back and forth, different points. You have to have votes. You have to do all. It's slow. It's slow to move anything. But you don't really want to move too quickly if everything is stable and going well. What's the rush? Calm down. We want to make minor. When you have a stable, well functioning society, you only want to make minor tweaks here and there, minor adjustments here and there. And you know, if it starts to improve and go okay, well then maybe we'll lean into it a little bit more. If it starts going the wrong way, oh well, no harm, no foul, just back it off. It's all no big deal. But it takes a long time to make these kinds of changes and improvements. If you're in a situation where you don't have time, you don't have 15 years, 20 years. like the PPC bros want to believe we have. Oh, we'll win one seat, and then later we'll win three, and then later. It's India by then. It's too late. Or if you're in a war, or you're in some kind of situation that demands action today, right now, you can't have 300 people arguing over what needs to happen. So the Romans are like, well, we'll pick a guy, we'll vote on a guy, and that's it. Figure it out. Go. Because that way, you're getting things done very, very quickly. There's no arguing. There's no fighting back and forth. It's just this, this, that, and go. It streamlines the whole process. It's executive decision making, and it just knocks everything out of the and some of them did do it. It didn't create. Not everyone was turned into a monster. Some of them, I can't remember their names, but maybe Ferry or some of the other more historically educated people can tell you. There were other guys. Pontius, is that? I don't remember. Some of them were soldiers. Some of them, they became dictator of Rome, ended and solved the crisis, and then went, all right, see you later, and that's it, and they went home. And then they had, like, statues made of them. Like, that's a legacy. That's badass. It's like, so you had ultimate, like in Gladiator, right? You're gonna have ultimate, supreme, and total power, and then you're just going to give it back to the people. You know, Russell Crowe's guy in Gladiator, and he's like, yeah. That's based on, that happened in Rome a couple of times. Sometimes it went the other way, but that's where that comes from. So people can laugh at the idea, but I mean, when you're in a situation that is as bad as ours is, we don't have time for everybody to sit around and argue and, you know, it's not working. You're trying to put out a fire with a screwdriver, you know, or you're trying to start a fire with a water hose. It's just not going to work. Professional CRJ says the federal debt is in fact 2 to 3 times more. I bet it is. I've heard it's well over 2 trillion because clever accounting lists pensions and such like CPP as assets and not colossal unpayable liability and slush fund left too. Right. So yeah, they did. They included the pension as an asset. That's something like, so an asset is something you can sell. An asset is something you can trade. You go, oh, actually, America, here, we have our Canada pension plan. Do you want that in exchange for this? You can't do that. So why? Then you don't have it. What? It's not an asset you can sell or trade or give away. So why are you putting it on the books like it is? That's like telling the bank, well, my neighbor has a pension, so if I lose all my money and I can't pay for the house, you could take that. Like, that's not yours to put up there. We are in such bad shape. Vodkatarian says, more cowbell. I mean, more air horn. That's what $5 gets you. Jen Steen wants a song for Patton. We can do that in a minute. I'm just going to get through the rest of these if I didn't already. Bearded Indian says USA paid for and built the DEW line, only using Canadian labor where possible. America takes care of Canada like a child. In some cases, they take a lot of advantage of us as well. But yeah, there is a massive trade deficit, and it's not good for either of us, really. I think America's got a worse end of it. But the whole NAFTA thing, I was a kid when they passed. I remember a lot of people fighting over it. They didn't like it. It was not going to help anything. It's going to make everything worse, and it certainly did. some of the ads. What is it? Hello, amazing streamer. Go to hell. I would get weird emails and inboxes and stuff. I was like, we want to sponsor your podcast. It's always just bots and, you know, go away. I don't want to hear from you. Oh, did it end up killing Twitter feed finally? Sure did. Huh. Well, I guess I'll have to delete the old one and start it back up again. The things you do for love. I don't love it. Turn it off and then turn it back on. That's what you got to do with Twitter. When the connection, turn it off and turn it back on. Take it out, blow on it, put it back in. There we go. It's aggravating. It's hard. I wish we could still be on YouTube, but I'm perma mega ultra banned from basically everything, including that. Maybe I could look into it or something. I don't know. We'll see. We are seeing the easing of. I don't want to say restrictions. What's the word? Censorship? Yeah, here it is. Zuckerberg abandons Facebook censorship for X-like community notes. Oh, really? Yeah, Morgan was talking about this. I saw there's a video based Zuck Arc and Vibe Shift. Oh, shut up. Shut up, this guy. So, I don't care. I don't need to read any of this. I mean, what happened was the government said, hey, you social media company, they only care about money, right? That's why he does anything. He's a money-obsessed lizard man.
I want to talk about something important today, because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram.
You're not a human being. I'm sure you're an alien from another planet. They're losing money. Elon bought Twitter, opened it up, and they're making a lot more money than they're doing well. And they are using their algorithms to look at all the money we're missing out on. First, they caved to state demands because that's what they wanted. But now it's like, actually, it's costing us money, and the public sentiment is shifting in the other direction. So now all of a sudden, actually, I do believe I don't like political bias now. Don't listen to a fucking thing they say. Everything they say is just lizard goblin talk, okay? The reason they're doing it is because they're losing money. They'll make more money if they go back to letting people talk again. So that's what they're doing until such a time when it's no longer politically convenient. They don't want it, and they'll go back the other way. Give it another 4 years. It'll be a different government, and then it'll change again. Maybe when the North American Union is complete and everyone's living with digital IDs and brain chips mandated from fucking Viceroy Musk. Well, until then. So we'll see. Maybe things will open up a little bit more. Maybe you'll be allowed on some of these channels and things in the future, but probably not me, you know? I'm surprised I'm still on some of the things that I am on, but... maybe it'll open up a little bit more. We'll see. Oh, more Trump stuff. I'm going to take a break from this for a minute. What an asshole, you know? Another part of the problem, like security-wise. Listen to this, if you didn't know.
Let's talk about searching equipment, because we talked about people. But I was surprised to learn, and perhaps this makes me very naive, but that the CBSA doesn't have the capacity in terms of officers or technology, for example.
Yeah, you are very naive. Right? Everyone in Canada is naive. They think the military exists. They think the police are competent and capable and everywhere, and they have a total grip on things. They think people coming into the country are vetted and looked into. They think shipping containers are searched. They think, no, none of that is true. None of those things are true. It's all pretend.
To search the vast majority of containers that are coming into the Port of Vancouver. And we know that's a huge fentanyl entry port. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the ability of the CBSA is to seize and investigate
nothing
in particular drugs
None.
In Canada when they're coming in?
Yeah, I mean, we do have good intelligence. We work very hard at it. Again, it's simply a matter
of... Is that which intelligence? Can you be specific, Mark? Mark Weber, is that your name? Like, is it... Okay. Is it the CSIS kind of – is it this kind of intelligence, or is it from somewhere else? I just want to be sure.
Of more. We need more people. We need more equipment. We search less than 1% of what comes into Canada. Modes like rail.
Less than 1%.
Rail, we don't do at all. We don't look at whatsoever. We don't know what comes in
right
via
on.
Train. Again, we don't have –
So via rail, anything entering Canada by rail is not searched at all. And the ports, it's less than 1% or less of shipping containers and cargo coming into our ports. 99% of it. So if you're trying to ship guns, people, drugs, nuclear reactive material, whatever you want, there is a 99% chance it will get in. Less than 1% of everything that comes into Canada. Jesus.
Have the infrastructure. Wow. We don't have the people to actually do that work.
I just wanted to ask you to go back on rail. With rail, is that an inability to search just the products coming across, or is that people as well?
Could be either. Could products, people. We don't have the infrastructure to do those searches. There's plans underway to allow us to do that work on the U.S. side, because there are ports where they have the infrastructure to do that. But again, that's really something Canada should be investing in.
I had something I wanted to... I can't remember. I lost it. Jensen says Zuckerberg is one of the rare good Jews. That's very generous of you. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think he's very good. I think he's kind of a shitbag. But he maybe he's just money obsessed and that's all he cares about. I don't know. Yeah, we're not searching anything that comes in. We have no control over anything. Via rail. Ports. 99% chance that everything, whatever you're going to send is going to get in. Another thing that sucks about people that end up in, if you put yourself in one or volunteer for one or be thrust into one, if you're in any kind of leadership position, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do that suck, that are awful maybe even, but there's no other way around it. If you try to be a Puritan, you're not going to survive. Sometimes you have to make compromises and do things that, because if you don't survive, the whole game's over. And we're in a situation where we don't have police, we don't have an army, we don't have security at all. As of right now. And that will only get worse. As far as Pierre goes, best I can see him doing is trying to maintain the status quo, which is already grossly unacceptable. We're going to stop the crime and put them where? No more bail. Put them where? There's no jails, Pierre. There's no jails. They're full. You're going to build all new jails? You're going to double the prison? Like, because that's what we need. We need probably double the amount of jails we have and staff. So that's how many billion, tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars? I don't know. How long will that take? Where's that money going to come from? Taxes? You're not going to, you're axing the tax. Right. You're going to mass recruit Indians to do it? You can't trust them. They're not loyal to this place. The economic migrants coming to Canada are here for stuff, money, and things. And if the United States was going to take over, those people are not going to help you stop that from happening, because they can just be offered better money, stuff, and things in the United States, and they would just take that. There's no loyalty there. There's no attachment to this place. This is all just an economic venture for them. And if it turns shitty, they would just go home. They would just go somewhere else. But the RCMP's leaked. Somehow it was leaked. Their number one concern, it's also my number one concern, is that what's going to happen when people realize they don't have a future and the RCMP has no ability to maintain control over this place whatsoever. The trucker convoy was 1% of what this country is capable of doing as far as unrest goes. That was a drop in the bucket of what is potentially out there, and that took everything they had to put it down. Their number one concern is what happens when everybody realizes there's no future. And also what happens when the organized crime that exists in this country understands that no one's coming. No one's guarding anything. Like in Jurassic Park, when the velociraptors realize that the fences are turned off, they realize there's nothing keeping us in here anymore. They just leave. Why wouldn't they? 99% of everything that makes it through, why wouldn't you ship in endless amounts of weapons and drugs and people and whatever else? I mean, hey, maybe the war gets crazy and the Chinese just start shipping in battalions of soldiers through shipping containers. It's not like we're searching them anyway. How are we going to survive if we don't work together? I would hate to have to be sitting at a table with the Conservative Party and the RCMP and the people and, you know, or people of those mindsets and personalities and trying to figure out, okay, so how do we all not die? How do we all retain any semblance of our identity, of our home at all? Like, what can we do together to make sure we save as much of it as we can? Because that's what would need to happen. There's no individual faction or group or political party or company or business or anything in this country that is strong enough to stand on its own and make any difference whatsoever. And if we're going to be under collective attack, the United States is looking to pick our bones now. The vultures are circling, boys. I've said this over the last year and a half. How long are they going to tolerate it? How much Chinese influence and Indian influence and everybody else? They're just going to sit here and let this become like a rogue failed state on their border? No, they're not. They would sooner annex the country before it comes to that. And now it looks like that day is rapidly approaching. Do you want to be a subject of the, you know, Zio-Zog Empire? I mean, we kind of already are. We're a puppet state of the United States, if anything. But we've been flying under the radar for a long time. The United States is the main event. That's what everyone pays attention to. And kind of like hiding behind them as their little brother. Like, we're shielded from a lot of this stuff. But that's coming to an end. You want your kids drafted? What more insane, crazy? They banned like lawnmowers in California, and they did. Like the United States is all amazing, and they're like, oh yeah, well we'll help you, we'll get rid of all those Indians. There is more. The United States is like 56% white people now. Canada's what, 73%, 74%? Like they're in worse shape than we are. They've been more removed and replaced in their own country than we are. But you know they'll speed it up. That way, all the Mexicans, everybody flooding in through the Mexican border, they can just keep right on going because it won't be that arbitrary imaginary line will be gone, like Trump said. So they can just come right in to add them too. Why? It's not fair that only Jeets should be getting flown in here in the plane load. We should have endless caravans of South American migrants too, many of whom are Indian, Middle Eastern, and African. I guess there's some kind of new bridge from, I don't know, Sierra Leone to Brazil I'm not aware of, and they're walking all the way across the Atlantic. I don't know. I mean, they're refugees. They're just poor refugees, but they don't own anything. But they somehow are able to travel the world, which is not cheap at all, and traverse continents and other countries and feed themselves and clothe themselves and find places to stay and all in the hundreds of thousands monthly. So, yeah, we got to open up. We got to get that land border and have more diversity coming in that way, too. And having no say over your home would be great, right? I would love to just sit here and just wait for America to tell us how it's going to be. We're going back to the Dominion of Canada, except we're not going to be a subject of the British Empire. We're going to be a subject of the Washington Empire, which is a subject of the Tel Aviv Empire. Like, what is this going to do? He vows a stronger military as Trump threatens economics for. With what? We have 27 million people in this country. The migrants don't count. You could, with a dramatic amount of money and that we don't have, I mean, unless you want to find it, unless you want to cancel all foreign aid and, do a lot of drastic, serious decision, you know, amputations and hardline kind of stuff, then you might be able to fund it. But we could probably have a military of 200,000, 250, quarter million. We could maintain a force of 200, of a quarter million. So about 4 to 5 times the size that it, you know, was in 2012. We could pull that off. It would take many, many years to do. It would take hundreds of billions of dollars of investment money, which we don't have. And who are you? Where are you recruiting these people from, Pierre? Is it all the people that have vaccine injuries that you don't want to talk about? Or who's going to do that? And to do what? As a bulwark against fighting the United States? This is just crazy. At least he did say this. Canada's will never be a 51st state. We're a great independent country. So this is what I'm saying. If it came down to it, like, don't make me have to help and side with the conservatives just so we can survive. That would be awful. But, you know, we're supposed to be like brother nations, you know? We're supposed to be friends. Friends look out for each other. They don't fuck each other's wives and steal their homes. How drunk are you, America? Oh, yeah, we'll just take it. They'll love that. That'll be great. No, wait a minute. Excuse me? That's not what... No, who asked for that? Oh, it was all those CPAC clowns that go down there to fucking suck your dick every day. Yeah, they don't represent us. Those are just try-hard wannabes that are desperate to be American. You just take them, actually? That's the thing about your identity is, like, you only get one. You are what you are, and you want to give it away? After everything that it's cost to create and maintain and bring it. What would the founding fathers of Canada? Oh, we don't have those, apparently. John A. Macdonald, Wilfrid Laurier, Darcy McGee. No, that didn't exist. Canada just popped up one day. Just add water. It's like one of those kids' toys. You just put water in it. You just, oh, look at that. Like, they're so delusional. Doug Ford says, well, what if we just buy Alaska? With what money, Douglas? Here, the thing is,
you know, under my watch, Frontier would never be for that at all. We have the greatest.
What are you going to do to stop them, though?
Country in the world.
We have
the greatest
don't.
Province anywhere.
No, you don't. That's just, you can't say stuff like that and know it's not true and have it land. You know, saying you have one of the greatest countries in the world, you actually have to have that for that to resonate with anyone. That's no longer true, Doug. 20 years ago, you could get away with saying that. Not now. No. We're not even in the top 20.
Any sub-sovereign nation is Ontario and the rest of the provinces as well.
You think he's joking?
You know something? To the president, I'll make him a counteroffer. How about if we buy Alaska and we'll throw in Minnesota and Minneapolis at the same time? So, you know, it's not realistic. I know he likes making...
Shut up, Butterboy. Like, he can, though. Like, Trump could do what he's threatening to do. You can't. That's the difference. You see, you're just blowing hot air. You're just blowing hot butter air out of your gullet, out of your fat, entitled, criminal neck, you drug-dealing piece of shit. Go look how much money he's made since being a politician, a public servant, a leader of the people. What are you threatening Trump with? How are you with what money? Oh, you're going to buy Alaska? Yeah, how much you got? Zero. You're not going to use your personal fortune that you've accrued over ripping off the rest of your people. No, you'll do it with our tax money. But how much is that? Oh, it's zero. I forgot. It's $2 trillion in debt, actually. These people are playing children's games. I got some more stuff here on the CIA. Oh, yeah, I want to look at that. And again, this is not, it's not going to go away. Wesley Clark laid it out in 2001, in October. Here's the countries we're going after. Our last one is Iran. We're right on the precipice of war with Iran after we've smashed every single one of Israel's regional enemies, one by one, one at a time, just like the paper said. Preemptive strikes on Iran will be a real possibility under Trump. Oh, great. Iran is dramatically accelerating enrichment close to the night. Oh, they're building a bomb again. Is Netanyahu going to come out with his cartoon drawing again? Like he did in the 90s and in the 2000s and in the 2010s. And then, it's been 30 years of Iran's going to build a bomb. Any minute now. And you know what? They probably should. There doesn't seem to be any other method of securing your sovereignty or not getting invaded by the United States Empire unless you have nuclear weapons. It's kept North Korea alive for a while. Constant daily headlines advances things set up for a collision course with Trump administration after the inauguration. And they've been saying, oh, you know, the assassination attempts, that was Iran did that. Why would they do that? Why doesn't Canada try to assassinate Xi Jinping so that we would be caught immediately and then obliterated? Like, do they think that would destroy America? There, we killed Trump. America has been defeated. No, they would just give them every justification in the world to glass your whole country, which they will do. So that's my concern, is like that's what the Israelis have planned next. Trump's now outlived his usefulness. He's already been reelected. If you kill him in the first days or months of his presidency, everyone will believe that the best was yet to come right around the corner. Everything was going to get better. We were about to get there. We were just about to MAGA. And then the damn Iranians got him. All of that emotional turmoil, upheaval, all of that is going to be funneled right into war. And everybody will go do it. And not me, bro. I'd never fall for that, bro. Yes, you fucking will. You fell for everything so far. And they're, you know, White House is saying, yeah, there's a new axis. Here we go again with the World War II talk. China has a critical choice to make. I'm going to bore you with this. It was kind of an interesting read, though. And it's hard to say. Is Russia or is China totally in bed with Russia? Are they willing to just throw down and do World War III or not? I don't know. And basically, this guy's kind of position was, we'll see. They could be economically friendly and partner with the United States and the rest of the world to try to, or not. It's hard to say which way they're going with this, but I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't say for sure it's going to be fine. Tenacious V says, I wonder how the pro-U.S. takeover of Canada gang will feel in 4 years when Gavin Newsom is the emperor of the United States of Canada. Yeah, right? They can't think ahead. They're very emotional, childish people. MAGA, Maple Manga, I want Orange Man to save. I want another man, the damsel in distress, just like I said. Oh, save me, other men. Other men, come save me. I'm incapable. I'm only a fat Canadian guy. I'm not a man. Can you save me? And can you fuck my wife for me too? Can you take my kids to school for me? Can you mow my lawn? I'll just go move and live in the doghouse outside. You could live in my house, which is now your house. I'm going to have a little maple MAGA flag on the doghouse where I live. I'm going to watch you screw my wife through the windows out back. She's never been happier, by the way. So grateful another man has come to fix my problems. No self-respect, no dignity. Brutal. Liberty Dude says, see you on Spotify, sir. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. People are heading to the Spotify game. We got a little bit of time left. I'm trying to start earlier because they drag out late into the evening, and I don't like to. I'm up late anyway, usually, but I don't like to be up super late trying to upload and fix everything. Chad Kroger says, hello, amazing streamer. You're making fun of these. Yeah. Glad to see you live in the eternal peace. I'm getting sick of the nonsense as I near 60. I'd also give young Vasi Kapalos my swole old bone. I don't know who that is, but thank you, I think. Thank you for the donation. Whatever that means, thank you. Yeah. Oh. Difficulty squeezing maple MAGA under the wheels of the bus. Fuck them. It's treason. It's literal treason. I want to surrender our national sovereignty that countless people have fought and died for to another country because I'm lazy and I don't feel like I'm up to the job. I don't feel like I have what it takes. I don't have the self-respect or the dignity or the motivation to even define who I am or what we are. I'm just going to lay down and let Orange Man put his little dick in my ass. That's what I'm going to do. I'm the Maple MAGA Canadian man. It's going to work out real well. It'd be a disaster. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully he's just trying to get a better deal. But what would stop him? What is there stopping America from just taking the country? Physically, there's nothing. Financially, there's nothing. Resource-wise, and we don't even have the social, like I said, cohesion and strength to resist it as a people if we wanted to. And I don't think people do want to. I think most of them would just allow it to happen. So it's a shitty situation to be in. And it's like, I'm being careful to reserve some of my thoughts here because let's just say hypothetically, do you want to out yourself as an enemy of the United States? Because if they want to take us out, they will. And if you're already marked as a hostile faction inside their newly acquired property, you're going to be dealt with. The American way, you know, the Ruby Ridge way, the Waco way, the Bundy Ranch way. The United States has a long history of murdering its own citizens when they become politically inconvenient. It happens all the time, actually. It's quite often. What was that university where they shot all those kids for protesting? I mean, there's endless examples. They fucking unleashed a cavalry charge on their own veterans from the First World War because they wanted pensions, you know? The precedent is there. You think they wouldn't impose their will? Who would stop them? Who's going to come to your aid? Great Britain? They stopped being an empire 80 years ago. They can't do anything. We're on our own here. We're trapped in the prison with Big Bubba. It's just so sickening that all it took for these allegedly very proud, patriotic, they all love to call themselves patriots, right? I'm a patriot, bro. They're all wearing Canadian flags a couple years ago, weren't they? Sat around and supported Polyev. Well, he shit all over you and didn't support the truckers, didn't help anybody, didn't do anything, so you let that go. You're wearing your Canadian flags like a cape, singing songs and, you know, all this Canada stuff. And all it took to abandon your allegiance and your loyalty to your own people was a charismatic reality TV star, a wrestling persona, convinced you to flush your entire heritage and birthright down the toilet so you could be part of his meme. What does that say about what? How do you fit into that power dynamic? Like, again, you're going to be a partners or an alliance. Do you come to the table, you know, with your ankles in the air, saying, be gentle on me, daddy? Or do you try to reach a point of mutual respect? You want to sit across from the table, sit across the table from each other, not under it, giving them a hand job. You think they're going to respect you? They could have an economic partnership with China or an alliance, potentially. Not with this. You heard him. You heard how he was talking. You think he's the only one in the White House, in the administration, anybody in his war room? Like, they view us as a petulant, spoiled child that has been getting away with a free ride for too long, and now it's all over. That's what America thinks of us. And you can't wait to give them everything they want. I saw Ferry say something on Twitter, too, which was hilarious. They were like, what did he say? He said, why is America so obsessed with, because Elon's like, we should liberate the United Kingdom. And like, oh, we got to liberate Canada. Why is America obsessed with liberating every country but their own? And somebody literally replied with, oh, well, we got Trump in. We're getting the libs out. Oblivious to the idea that Trump's cabinet is the Israeli wet dream. It is the most pro-Zionist, anti-white ever. It is far worse than if the Democrats had gotten in, because they think it's their guys. So they're blind to it. They're numb to it. There's a, you know, weak side there. They're not paying attention to it. They go, oh, no, that's MAGA. We're back, baby. Yeah, we're back. Here have all the Indians. We're spending all your money. We're sending all the... They're sending veterans benefits to Israeli fucking soldiers now. That was Trump's guys that signed off on all that. Oh, what's the matter, Sergeant? You don't have enough money to pay for your fucking paralysis? And yeah, it's too bad. It went to Shlomo in Tel Aviv, actually. Say thank you to Donnie Trump. I know a lot of Americans. I've worked with a lot of Americans. I've spent a lot of time in America. I was embedded in a United States Marine company, 2-3 Marines for a number of months. I love them. They're great guys. I love the American people. But they're not free. They're not in control of their own country, and they haven't been for a long time. You'd have to believe Lee Harvey Oswald was just a guy on his own who just shot him, and that was it. You have to believe that story. You have to believe that Richard Nixon was simply just an incompetent fool, criminal, really, and he got what he deserved. You have to believe that story. You have to believe that 9/11 was exactly what it looked like, and everybody did the best they could, and we had to go around the world chasing ghosts. You have to believe all of that for this version of your idea of the United States of America to be correct. It's not correct. The people are great, but they're slaves like the rest of us. And you're going to ignore that because it's the lie. The lie and the comfort of the fantasy is just, is just too seductive and too alluring to you. So you go back to sleep and you get on Daddy Trump's team. Oh, he's charismatic. He's funny. He makes me feel good. He says the things I want to hear some of the time till he gets elected. And now we love them. We need our H-1B visas. We need them all. We need more software developers, and we need lots of Indian trash bag truck drivers and pooping. We need lots of pooping. 76 IQ. 1 minute he's totally against it. Next minute, oh, I've always been for it. Oh, he's not a politician. No, he's a novice politician, but he learns fast. He's gotten quite good at it. He's a con man and a businessman. His whole life, listen, Trump's entire life has been about him. He's funny. He's a music. I don't think he's the worst president they've ever had at all. But that doesn't mean he's your friend. It doesn't mean he cares about you. Well, I met him. He shook my hand and said, I'm sure you did. That's part of the job, though. If I was doing what he's doing, I would do those things. I would have to do those things, too. I might be tired and annoyed, and in my head, I'm like, how many more hours of this till I can go home and play golf and eat cheeseburgers? I don't get. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. Oh, totally. Yep. Say all the things. Take the picture. Smile. Yeah, that's the gig. That's the job. And people go, oh, man, that guy really talked to me. He really cares. No, they don't. No, they don't. The minute you were out of their field of vision, that file's already been deleted, and they're working on something else. I saw another great statistic. Neither Trump nor Elon Musk, no one in their families has ever served in the American Armed Forces in war. No one has fought a war for America at all. And they're the two most powerful people in America, running America. Does that sound right to you? Has Trump's entire life been one, a legacy of, I'm here to help America. I care about America. I want to improve America. I'm a patriot. No, it's been making money for himself, building his Trump empire. And this is the crown on top. That's it. At what point did you get under the impression that he's, this is what he wants? He wants it for his legacy. He wants the reputation. He wants the Wikipedia page. Maybe he'll put his face on Mount Rushmore. That's what he wants. He wants people to adore and love him and tell him he's amazing. He wants to have arenas of people cheer for him. There's people that need this and value this and like crave it like it's a drug. Now he's talking about using the military to retake the Panama Canal, which, I mean, they probably shouldn't have given that away. Greenland. I think this is what's really going on here is they're trying to get ahead of security situations in anticipation of a potential war with Russia and China. And if you have a military presence in the Arctic and in Greenland and in Central America, Mexico, what have you done? You've created that buffer zone I talked about, right? Like what the Germans did in the Second World War, America will do the same thing in preparation of, hey, if you're going to try and invade us, you got to get through our territories and, you know, outposts in Greenland, in northern Canada, western Canada. If you're going to try to come the other way through Mexico, we got all that locked down too. Right now, you could just land right in Canada or Mexico and ha, but not under that, you know, that plan. So they're just going to take those options away. That's probably the rationale behind, like, why are they doing this? That's probably why. I think they're anticipating or at least taking more seriously the threat of an armed conflict with Russia and China, so they're going to start looking at remedies. Meanwhile, the Canadian government, we're on top of things, too. We're doing stuff like this. Ottawa bans vehicles idling longer than a minute per hour all year because climate change. So you're banned from idling your vehicle for more than a minute per hour. So I guess those of you people that are living in cars, which there are, fuck you, die, I guess. Just die. This is Ottawa doing Ottawa things again. So Ottawa surpasses its coldest ever temperature of minus 39. Residents will be prohibited from idling their unoccupied vehicles for more than 1 minute. Oh, unoccupied? So I guess that scenario of warming up your Maserati or BMW, that's no longer allowed. Well, it's good. People shouldn't be polluting. That's not the fucking point of all of the things that we have to fix and deal with and people that need help, how much time and effort and energy and legislation and signing and consultations and stamp this, pass that, text this person, call them to make this a law, to make this into reality. All of that effort and time was spent on something so fucking stupid as you're not allowed to. Who's going to enforce this? Are there cops going to go around and timing how long cars are running? Because they don't have murderers to find. They don't have missing people to find. They don't have drug rings to break. No, go police cars idling. Holy. No one has deserved more to earn the amount of hatred that they get than politicians in the media. And it's not enough. You can't hate them enough. There's no way that you can hate a politician enough. Yeah, they're so full of hate. I wish it was more. I wish it was more. I wish I had an extra fuel tank, you know, like when planes and they go on long range fighting bomber. You have an external tank, drop tank of extra hate just to get you to where you need to go. I need one of those. I need a drop tank of hate because we don't have enough. Because there's still politicians, you know, comfortably walking around this country thinking they're not the biggest pieces of shit in the world and that they shouldn't be living in fear everywhere they go in public because they should be. If you don't like that and you think I'm being extreme, well, I would ask you, how many people should they be allowed to liquidate? How many people should be allowed to perish and die as a direct result of their incompetence, their negligence, and their treason? That would make it appropriate. How many people? Pierre likes to ask how many, how much, how many people? 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, a million? The Humboldt Broncos were apparently expendable. How many? How much? Just forever, I guess, right? There's never a situation, there's never a time where any politician or media, anybody should be held responsible for anything they've done, even if it results in mass death. Or if you're in Great Britain, mass industrial levels of rape happening to young girls. There's never a situation that's appropriate. No, there is. It's treason and it's negligence, and you must deal with it as harshly as possible so people know that there is a line you don't cross, and if you do, the price is everything. You will be killed for it. You will die. We will fucking end you. Treason is death, period, full stop. And if you don't enforce it, then why not do it? Why not benefit from it? Why not take the Chinese money? Why not take the Indian money? Why not commit treason? I'll get rich and nothing will happen to me. There. And I don't know why we have a nation of traitors. How'd that happen? Well, we don't enforce anything. We don't hold anyone accountable. The only people that are at risk of being held accountable are people like myself or my friends or maybe some of you out there who maybe you wrong thought something. Did you say something on social media you weren't supposed to? Did you post the wrong thing? Yeah, you're going to pay for that. Oh, yeah. Oh, did you? Then you shouldn't. Did you have four or five, you know, drinks and get behind the wheel of a car? Oh, you're going to pay for that. You're going to lose your license. You're going to have all kinds of. Yeah, politicians know that never happens. Or cops. Cops get let off of that all the time. They go on leave with pay. They get to go on vacation. Oh, are you drunk driving again, Constable? Have a vacation. Just go drink more at home, unsupervised, and make money to do that for a while. Why not do that? There's no accountability in any level of authority in this country, so it's not a mystery as to why everything is in shambles. No cars running for over. We're tackling the important problems, guys. We're going to make sure it's all taken care of. Epoxy Bear says, thank you. After you become a U.S. citizen due to the takeover, you can get U.S. passports and move the whole family to Thailand. It'll be a blast. I did eventually manage to get a Canadian passport. I don't know what I would do. Would I move? Would I stay? I don't know. It depends on what happens. There's a million variables and things to consider how this would play out or what would go down. I think the conservatives probably would try to resist it because that means they get their toys taken away. The whole reason that these people are in politics in the first place is so that they could be special boy and I'm the leader of the country. I'm important. If that goes away, it's all been for nothing. Like all they care about is that. They care about power and influence, and it'll be drastically reduced under that arrangement. So I believe that they would fight that, or try to. They try to figure it out. I think it could be. I think you could do it. I think you could create an environment where you could establish a spirit of resistance that would be enough to make it not worth their while. And that's the best you're going to do. I call it the porcupine defense, the porcupine strategy. And I'll explain that in a minute. But it's just occurred to me that, like, after everything that's happened all night, I've been going on all night, and I've only really touched on it a little bit. And like it or not, you know, it's almost over. We're on the way. We have a few more months of Big Trudy, but he's almost over. It's almost gone. A lot of the damage he's done is pretty permanent, and it's going to be long lasting. But oh, it's a dark thought. I hope 5 years from now, but it could be, people look back and go, I would rather that. I wish we could go back to the Trudeau years. That was better. We have a lot of problems that are not going to be solved by any of the people coming in. There's every indication things are going to get a lot worse in the near, mid, and long term. And for as happy as everyone is, I mean, Trudeau's not going to go to jail. He's not going to be investigated. Nothing's going to happen to him. Worst case scenario, he's just eventually fades away. Somebody else takes over. He gets a property somewhere in a Pacific, you know, on some island somewhere. He just travels around. He'll probably still be involved in the Liberal Party. He'll have all kinds of positions. Like, he's fine. Nothing's going to happen to him. So what are you celebrating for? Like, basically what's happened is politicians only last about 8 years on average. That's why it works that way in the United States. Two term. You can only 8 to 10 years, and then people get tired of it. You know, they start to associate. And I believe this is the modern system, the modern bullshit slave system we're in. I think they know that there's a certain time limit on how long people will tolerate the bullshit. And then there needs to be a shakeup to continue the illusion that matters at all. And then you just give it a facelift. You put new people in charge, new voices, new faces. And then that kind of resets it lets the pressure out, lets the steam off, and kind of resets the system. And then you can go back to doing the same shit you were doing before, maybe at a reduced pace. I like to say the liberals are speeding towards communism and the conservatives are going the speed limit. That's basically what it is. So instead of going the other direction like we're supposed to, people will be satisfied that at least we've slowed down enough for now. 8 years, 10 years, you got to switch it up. So they just bring in a new guy. So what's happened is his contract's expired. He's done his job. You know, he's all used up. All right, time to switch it up. New guy, put in the new guy, same as the old guy. And I did ask for this. I said, you know, it's probably something we should hold in our heart. This was who ran the country. We should never forget that. And I'm not trying to demoralize you if that's how you feel. I'm not demoralized. I'm concerned of the situation we're entering, and I'm trying to approach it pragmatically and realistically and without blowing smoke up your ass, because that's something I'm never going to do. That doesn't help anybody. That's what politicians do to distract you from problems so that they don't have any consequences visit them ever. They will lie to you. That's all they do. So it's not really demoralizing, but not meant to be demoralizing. It should be angering to the point of motivation and realization that these are the kinds of people we have running the country, like a kakistocracy, the worst, the weakest, the slimiest, the most dishonest, the most two-faced. That's who's in charge. That's what we've allowed to rule this place. It's not like we're under the iron fist of Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong or something. It's much more embarrassing than that. So we're going to miss you, Trudy. We're going to miss your made up words and your people kinds and your, I mean, the blackface stuff was kind of funny. The 5 or 6 or 17 times you've done it. The drugs that he took on live television, you know, high as a kite. It hits you. the public, the divorcing, the cucking, the whole, there's just a lot there to remember. And, you know, I'm going to talk about the, after this, we got to send him off how he deserves, right? And then I'll talk about the porcupine defense, how I think, if there ever was a way to defend the country from something as immense as the United States, it's probably your only option, but we'll try. We'll explore that in just a minute. But until then, sad to see him go, but I love to watch him leave, you know?
I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by. Emotion. Not for
do it any longer. I just needed a quick break, but it's painful, isn't it? this was who destroyed the country. Not a foreign conqueror, not Genghis Khan, not even an act of God, not an alien invasion, not even Orange Man, not the this guy. So sad. He tried so hard, guys. See you on the beach, Big Wheel. It's been a slice. And in 5 years, they'll be like, man, I wish we could go back to that. This is so much worse. I can't listen to that dweeb talk about fucking Indians anymore. We need common sense hate speech. There's too much anti-Semitism and xenophobia against the Hindi Mahabuli Muli community of the great King Bajubali Jarmai. It's awful. Jensen says, was ready at the heavy bag. Fairy is gay. I don't know what that means. What are you doing? Ready at the heavy bag or... I'm not sure. Scott, thank you. He says, 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. Uplifting words from Robert J. Matthews. Yeah, having a lot of people march into the same drum, metaphorically and literally, can. That's how anything significant's ever been done. It's never been one guy by himself. It's always been large groups of people in concerted, directed, pointed efforts, like a spear or a sword or a... It's all got to be funneled into one direction. CRJ says, Maple MAGA pro-annexation thought process. Well, my neighbor has a pool. He might pay for my pool, too, because my current landlord won't. Exactly. Jenstein says, but Ronald McDonald is real. Is he? Why are you getting mad about McDonald? What did I say? I didn't question if he was real or not. Why are you getting all upset? What are you smoking now? All this Trump stuff has gotten you real upset. I'm in your dreams, Jenstein. I'm going to be visiting you at night and maybe even during the day. There's no escape from the orange man. I'm going to turn all of Manitoba into a golf course. Be the newest Trump golf. Godzilla says, I suspect Trudeau is resigning because when he went to Mar-a-Lago, Trump told him, you're going to go down in history as a moron who allowed his country to be seized by an American game show host. Well, technically, that'll probably be Pierre, but another thing that's concerning is that, you know, we'll talk about the defense thing in a minute, but I'm, again, Dan Dix made this kind of documentary in 2012 about the North American Union conspiracy theory, which has been an ambition of the Americans for quite some time. It's a thing, guys. It's been a thing for a while. A theoretical economic and political continental union of Canada, Mexico, and the United States. The problem is it wouldn't be an alliance or a union. It's just the United States eating you. Because like I said, if you're in a partnership and alliance, there has to be a mutual respect there. There has to be, you know, like Britain and France were allies, you know? They couldn't, I mean, fighting each other would have been devastating. They don't want that, but they do have mutually overlapping, you know, goals, so they work together. It's not like Britain is not going to be allies with, like, the Faroe Islands or something, you know? People they could easily, like, why do you have an equal say in this partnership when I could just step on you like a bug? You literally exist at however long my string of benevolence lasts. It's not a partnership. Since the mid-19th century, numerous concepts for a union among Canada, Mexico, and the United States, some including the Caribbean, have been proposed. You know. In 2006, claims emerged from critics of the North American integration that a North American union was not only being planned but was being implemented by the governments of Canada. It was even addressed in some of the election at the time. But Mike, you know, Trudeau said, I'm going to stay on. He's got to stay on to negotiate with Trump, and he's the only one that can handle Trump and all this kind of stuff. So I also saw that someone had discovered that the Liberals had budgeted their government funding to the exact day that the proroguing of Parliament ends or something. So they knew before Christmas time that this is what they were going to do. Maybe there is some kind of back channel shenanigans going on. Maybe he's selling us out. I don't know. But I know it doesn't sound good. And again, how long do you expect them to tolerate shit like this? This is from probably in Mexico, but like America has... Listen, they're a big target. And one of the best ways to get in and get at America is through either Canada or Mexico. And we're doing absolutely nothing to stop that. We're searching nothing. We're vetting no one. We're letting everybody in here. So you can't expect them to put up with this forever. So what can you do? Now, if they did attack, how would you even deal with something like this? Well, we don't have the military, so that's not going to work. But you don't have to win. You don't have to be in a position where, like, if you think we have to defeat the United States militarily or economically or anything, to secure your sovereignty, that's probably not possible and not necessary either. You just have to be enough of a pain in the ass that it's not worth it, you know? Why does a lion not eat a porcupine? You'd have to be really hungry, right? Like life and death, I'm going to die if I don't eat this porcupine. And then you're probably screwed. But are they that hungry? 99 times out of 100, other animals and other predators will go, you know, I would eat you, but I'm going to get my mouth all cut up. I might get some of that shit stuck in my face. It's going to hurt. There's probably better meals out there. I'm just going to pass on this one. It's not worth it. It's not worth the trouble. Even though they would win, but it's painful enough that it's not worth pursuing. That's probably the only real doctrine you could pursue. Probably not such a good idea that you stripped all the citizens of their rights to own firearms, for starters. So that's the first thing you would want to reverse. And not just reverse to the pre-Trudeau adjustments. I mean, you want to go back to the 1975 Canadian gun laws where you can have whatever you want. You can have machine guns if you want. Citizens, not migrants, not Jeets, no. The traditional ethnic distinct, the Canadian people, yeah, let them buy whatever they want. It's the first thing you want to do. And just turn this place into, you know, a mini America bristling with weapons and rifles and machine guns everywhere. that would make any kind of ground land occupation very dangerous and difficult and problematic because there's guns everywhere. And anybody, anywhere, anytime could be a problem. It also creates a manpower pool of armed citizenry that you could quickly, if you needed to, in an emergency or a catastrophic-like situation where if it's America or China or alien invasion, you have an armed population, an armed segment of your manpower in your society that you could quickly draft up and throw together in some kind of militia, whatever you need. It's better than nothing. You could create programs to teach people some basic fundamentals on these things. But I mean, that would require a government that trusts and cares about its citizens and doesn't view them as a threat to themselves. That's why they take away your rights, your weapons, all of these kinds of things, because they're worried you might use them against themselves. And they know that they're going to do things to you that you might get so angry about, you might want to shoot them over. So they need to take all your guns away. So that was a bad idea. So we don't have that option anymore. It's not like, oh, geez, there seems to be some kind of invasion happening. Well, everyone go to your local Canadian Tire and get a box of SKS. No, we don't have those anymore, so we can't do that. The geography of this country it's huge. It's massive. And to be everywhere at once would require an incredible amount of manpower. You would need, I don't know, a 250,000, basically everyone they have. You wouldn't have the physical manpower to hold this place down with any certainty for any length of time. You'd have to America would have to withdraw all of its troops from everywhere and then contribute a sizable amount of them just to occupy Canada and try to keep it under control and evade and deal with, you know, roaming in and out, hit and run gangs, you know, groups of militia, guerrilla warfare type situations. Worse than Iraq and Afghanistan or any of those other places, you're not dealing with brown people that you can, oh, that's definitely not us. That's the Taliban. Is it? Are they American soldiers or are they Canadian terrorists? Are they, I don't know. They look like you. They sound like you. I can do a fucking Texas accent, man. I'm from Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm from DFW. That's a nice Humvee you got there. Bang. Ah, you know, that's a whole other dynamic to that. So, I mean, this is obviously, this is just for the thought experiment of it. I hope nothing like this would ever happen. But if you were able to run a kind of a nationwide hit and run guerrilla warfare strategy, it would take, you know, you could probably tough it out for 20, 30 years. It would be so expensive and costly it would be impossible. That's really your only move. That's your best bet. And make it as difficult and painful as possible. You're constantly dealing with, that bridge is out and that rail is destroyed. And there's just, you couldn't possibly be everywhere at once. And it would just cost them so much money and time. Like, look, they couldn't handle Iraq, Afghanistan, or any of these places. They just didn't have the willpower, the money, the time, the troops. But and those places are, again, like the size of New Brunswick or Southern Ontario. But you're going to take the whole continent down, are you? With what exactly? But that would require a spirit of national resistance. It would require the conservatives to really hammer home, which would be great for us as nationalists. The only way that you could, you know, create this kind of spirit is to really hammer home and focus on the Canadian identity, our sovereignty, our nationality, our spirit, who we are, why we're different. Why remain Canadian? Why protect the Canadian identity? You'd have to find these folk heroes. You'd have to dig up these old people that you've canceled and banned and present them to the public and say, is this worth throwing away? Is this meaningless? Is this nothing? Go down, get all the old cenotaphs from all the old war memorials. What about them? What do you think they'd say? Would they want you to just lay down and let it happen? Are they not worth, is their legacy and their sacrifice not worth defending? If you were able to make people proud and happy and love themselves again and love the country again and love who they are. But I mean, you'd have to be pretty racist to do that because it doesn't include India, does it? Or China or South America or Venezuela. We're not Venezuelan, Pierre, are we? Well, I mean, you are technically, I guess, but we're not. They'd have to rediscover who they are, have a sense of national pride and acknowledge and internalize how important that is. And if they had that they had that spirit, they would develop a spirit of willful resistance if it came to it. Somehow, I don't think the conservatives are going to be up to that kind of a task, though. I really don't think that's where it's going to go. So we're going to just have to hope and pray that it's all bluster, it's all just a negotiating tactic, and Trump's trying to get a good deal, and They're not seriously talking about it. They're not actually going to take the country. Because all we have is tough-talking politicians who get mud on their boots sometimes, and they tweet things like, there's not a snowball chance in hell. What are you going to do? Is Doug Ford going to arm wrestle Trump or something? Like, bro, they could just send the National Guard from Minnesota, and that would be enough. There wouldn't be anything you could do about it. And I don't know how many people would even resist it at this point. Most of them would probably be okay with it. Because they see money, stuff, and things, and that's what's important to them. That's what matters. That's what matters the most. It's the most important. Jen Steen says, Philip took my soul. Antidote, please, or suffer in silence. Well, you're not supposed to give him your soul. That was always the idea. That was always the one thing you're supposed to protect. I've been telling that the whole time. He's after your soul, and you're like, oh, sure, let me give him the soul. I can't get it back for you. There's no refunds. Phil, didn't you tell anybody that? There is refunds? Oh my God. Now he said if you bring him two souls, he'll give you one back. He'll give you yours back. All right. I mean, I don't know. You're in for it now, but for some reason I feel like Jensen's going to be able to fix that problem very quickly. He probably has a collection of souls that he's willing to trade quickly. Steve says someone clip arming 27 million Canadians with any gun they want. That would be that would be a deterrent, wouldn't it? Again, I can't see that they're going to be up to that anytime soon. There was one last thing I wanted to look at before I get out of here. That's not it. Oh, right. This fucking idiot. Doo, doo, doo. Oh, come on. Come on, computer. There we go. Right. And this is... That's not the one I want. Like, this is kind of who you're dealing with is this establishment, right? And it's like, let's just join into this. Well, they're not super educated on kind of how the globalists and the bad guys and how everything works. But there is a guy out there. I think I've used some of his videos and plugged him before. I just came across him last year. And he knows his stuff. He knows what's going on. He's pretty good. I really like a lot of his videos and his work. Ian Carroll is his name. I don't know what he goes by on social media. I just see him around. This is worth watching.
Agencies were formed to work in the shadows. And right away, they started working with organized crime to get the job done. Because organized crime was already doing it all. And they could do all these extra things that intelligence agencies wanted to do, like sell drugs, which we've been doing the whole time. Right? So organized crime and intelligence agencies have been paired up from the start. And the CIA and Israel's Mossad...
I've talked about that before, how the Mafia and all these guys, how they, just let him say it.
...have basically been paired up from the start, though not always by choice. And I'm not saying the whole CIA and the whole Mossad. I'm saying some of the covert elements near the top. And then when we look at the organized crime that is the most powerful organized crime, it is the blackmailers. Because the blackmailers obviously are working on behalf of all these other operations. They're obviously working with the drug operations, with the weapons operations. But the blackmailers are the ones that can expose everything. This has been true ever since J. Edgar Hoover founding the FBI. That if you're the one that has blackmail on J. Edgar Hoover, you're the one that gets to tell the mafia, like, hey, let's get together. I can control the FBI. Do you want to work for me now? Right? And that is still true today. Whoever's got the blackmail wins the game. And it's pretty clear.
And how do you not fall into that trap? It's almost, there's more of this I want to get into, but it's almost fair in a way. I respect the game in that way. If that's the way the universe is set up, is that the way, is this what God intended? Maybe. Because the only way to not be exposed to that blackmail trap is don't do stuff that you could be blackmailed for. Don't cheat on your wife. Don't do drugs. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't be a piece of shit. Don't be a politician, essentially. If you don't do those things, they can't really blackmail you. They'll just try to buy you. And if that doesn't work, then they eventually just kill you. But they can't kill everybody. So we have a deficit of righteous men. We have a deficit of honorable, good men that are willing to put themselves in harm's way and walk the life that they're supposed to. Do what they say. Be the people they're trying to, not just talking and then... say all this shit, and then you turn around, you're a piece of trash and a terrible human being. Because those people, you can blackmail. Well, how do we stop having sex with kids and hookers and prostitutes and being a closet homosexual and, you know, because they'll find all that stuff and they'll use it against you.
Who's got the blackmail? It's Israel, right? Let's not beat around the bush.
You can't say that.
Israel set up Jeffrey Epstein.
No.
And he had help. You know, he worked with the CIA. He worked a little with MI6. But Israel set up Jeffrey Epstein. And they're not the only ones in the game by any means. There are definitely independent organized crime blackmail rings out there. There are definitely other, you know, the CIA is running its own. Saudi intelligence is probably running its own. There's all sorts of ones out there. Intelligence agencies were formed. Yo,
that's that one. There's another one I wanted to. There's a couple more I actually wanted to show you, this guy.
Israeli government propaganda is to smear any criticism of the government of Israel as an anti-Semitic criticism of all Jewish people.
Right.
And it's like, clearly not what's going on here when I'm speaking. But in many ways, I think the obvious place to start is just with the Balfour Declaration being written to the Rothschild banking family as essentially a deal being made during World War One in exchange for something, right? Mm-hmm. And you can look into what that exchange is for, but you have to wonder, how much do you have to do for Great Britain in order to be given a country? And when you are the banking empire that has been ruling Europe, you know, de facto for 150 or more years, you got to imagine that you can do a lot in order to get a country given to you. And so Rothschild did some stuff during World War One, and they got this letter saying, we promise we will give you that land to form the state of Israel. And Zionism had been going on before that, but that sort of kicks things off. And they start moving people in, and they, but it costs a lot of money to found a country, especially when there's already people living there that don't want you to found that country.
So you just genocide them all. You just kill slowly over time. You know, they did some big moves initially, but people started getting cranky, and then to kind of slow cut the grass, as Netanyahu and them like to say, we gotta cut the grass every once in a while and kill off some of these, keep these people under control, you know. And then finally this one, how can you criticize Jews and Israel? That may you're a Nazi now. Yes. If you notice and make any criticisms of what is clearly an organized global criminal mafia, that somehow automatically makes you a card-carrying member of the 1930s National Socialist German Workers' Party. It's not a far-reaching cope or evasion tactic to deflect criticism away from the subject matter, which is why are so many of these Jews fucking stealing and robbing and killing and getting away with it? No, it's just that you're somehow a time-traveling member of a political party that was destroyed in the 1940s. Yes.
The Nazi even mean, like, have I committed a Holocaust? Like, have I
hurt anyone? Yeah, you did, Ian Carroll. Every video you upload is another Shoah!
Because I've not, actually. And I've not even committed any violence, and I'm not a violent person.
You sound violent. He's white, and he's saying things. He's an ideologically motivated violent extremist.
It's like, so we're disconnecting what the word means, and people don't even think about it, think it through. It's like, don't we want to clean up the house and get the criminals out so that the Jewish religion can be pure?
If there was a group of people claiming to be Christian that were out there doing crime syndicates and things like that, I would say let's identify those people immediately, shine light on that deception, put them in jail, I don't want them claiming to be Christian.
And there are a number of Jewish people.
And you'd think they would do that. And he goes on, there are some, but not very many. And most of them would rather go, deflect, censor, suppress. They take the side of their team, right? Like, you know, I'm a Canadian. I'm a proud Canadian. I like being Canadian. And if I found out, and I have done this in the past, if we were doing something shitty and fucked up and immoral that is staining our honor, that's what the word Aryan means, you know? Named yourself after honor. So it's a pretty important aspect of your self, your identity, your spirituality, your worldview. If we're doing something that is damaging that, our honor, which is very important, maybe one of the most important things, because if you're always trying to steer your ship in that way and maintain that and make sure that's the integrity of that, of your honor as a people, as an individual, as a country is under control, then you're probably going to make good decisions, righteous decisions. You're going to take care of it. You're going to do the right thing. Because there's no honor in doing the wrong thing, in doing the shitty thing, the cowardly thing, the weak thing, the backstabbing thing, the deception thing. None of those things are honorable moves. So if our people are doing something terrible, I don't want to be associated with that. And they don't represent us. That's not who we are. We're not scum. Why are you doing scumbag things? Why is it us pointing out, like, where, who was this group in South America somewhere? Derek, they were in Montreal for a little while, Lviv, or another one of these Jewish groups. It had hundreds of children that were rescued from some facility somewhere in South America. Like, people are crawling out of tunnels. You've got Epstein Island. Why is it other people from the outside going, excuse me, what is this? Oh, that's anti-Semitic hate speech. Well, I mean, shouldn't you be cleaning up your own house, like they said? Like, why are you leaving it to other people to do it? Like, that doesn't, they're not winning any friends over. You're not convincing anyone that you're sincere about not agreeing or not supporting any of this behavior when you don't do anything about it at all. You'd rather it just not even be talked about. You'd rather people, oh, look, Muslim rape gangs. Right, oh, right. Muslim rape gangs bad, Jewish rape gangs good, right? Okay. Epstein Island good, Rotherham bad. Got it, good. Industrial child sex trafficking, Jewish version good, Muslim version bad. Okay, Tommy Robinson, Elon Musk, I see what you did there. Nice try. You know, nice try. You tried to do the pivot, but you know, it's not going to work. And, you know, I know I said it was the end of Trudeau. This is the last real end of Trudeau. There are a couple of, this is from the 10th of December. And there's been a lot of these. I don't play them. I don't like, revel in them and go, oh, Lord, they said our name. He's talking about me. I'm so important. I roll my eyes and it makes me sad. Because I want to live in a serious place. I want to have a country and a government worth respecting. That's something you can look up to, that I could point to my children and say, look, you know, look what we've got, you know. I don't want to have a room full of obese, dumb thieves, criminals, backstabbers, and traitors talking about fantasy world nonsense. The fact that this clip exists, and it's one of many. Is not indicative of, in some ways it is, indicative of how much impact that we've been able to have collectively. Myself, my friends, many of you. But to me, it's more indicative of the fact that they are so desperate for things to point to as problems that they can use to justify their behavior and ignore and distract from everything that they've fucking done. As if, like, there's not more important, more drastic, more devastating things going on. We're going to take time out of our day, and we're going to argue in the House of Commons back and forth about shit like this.
But the conservative leader forced his MPs to vote against a tax break for Canadians. So even though he wanders around the country talking about taxes, hanging out with certain questionable Diagonal folks, he continues to vote against the interests of Canadians.
Like, is this real life, you know? And they thought, like, oh, yeah, that's a good gotcha. That got them there. That was a good one. That's the prime minister. Do you hear them clapping? That's his cabinet. That's the minister of national security. That's the public safety minister. That's the minister of national defense. That's the finance minister. The immigration minister. The justice minister. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're talking about. They are not living in reality. At all. And they declared war on my imagination. And they lost. And that was it. I've kind of laid off of him and the Liberal ever since post-convoy, because it was, oh, I knew it then. I've said it then. I was like, they're done. It's over. They're never going to recover from this. It was political suicide. They turned the whole country against them. They're dead in the water. And it never got better. It never got better for them ever any day since. So this isn't just me blowing smoke up, you know, my own great ass, I have to say. or Derek or Ferry or Edgy or Copeland or any of the other guys. There's so many. I mean, I just go back to like this kind of the same original few names of guys. There's so many other people that help contributing and been part of this now. They declared war on a pretend country and lost. They lost so badly it destroyed their government. They reasoned in the justification for the Emergency Act, according to Marco Mendicino, who was the public safety minister at the time, whose office was handling this crisis, told the Globe and Mail that, yes, it was the Diaghilom militia. That's why we had to enact martial law. And now they're sitting around still talking about this in the House of Commons like any of that was real, like any... Should we be embarrassed? Should we be... I'm not sure. I think that can go in a record book. I don't think I've ever heard of a government that yeeted itself because it declared war on a meme. Like and lost, which is the craziest part, right? They couldn't even provide a scalp or a skin or a hide for the wall. They couldn't get me. They couldn't get anyone. There was nothing to get. And they looked high and low. They looked far and wide. They found an ex-girlfriend of mine from over a decade ago and questioned her. They're taking the ferry to Vancouver Island and talking to people there. They're talking to people in Fort McMurray and in Edmonton and in Calgary and in Toronto and in Ottawa and in Montreal and in Fredericton and in Halifax. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Saskatoon. Oh, buddy, Vancouver. Everywhere. Please, I gotta find bad guys because the actual ones are fucking too scary for you, aren't ya? Yeah, you're not going after MS-13. You're not going after Yakuza, the triads. You're not dealing with any Sikh gangs or terrorists or Al-Qaeda or ISIS. No, you want to deal with this because you know there's no danger and you get to act like you're fucking important. Like you did something. Like you're involved in something that matters. It's an insane amount of cope. I don't even know what to say. But, I mean, that was his government. Pierre's not even in yet, and he tried to have me arrested when I was already in jail. And it still comes up all the time. Like, did you threaten to rape his wife? First of all, it was a joke. Second of all, have you seen her? No one would rape her. Who would rape that? Come on. Let's get real. You could parade her around in front of a bunch of hungry Afghani men in the middle of the desert, and they'd be like, ah, we have sheep. There's no need. It is honestly not much of an upgrade. So if a meme can defeat the liberals, what will we need to defeat a much weaker, much more retarded conservative? But again, I don't want to have to work with them or help them, but if they were serious about trying to maintain and save our sovereignty as a nation against being absorbed by the United States, I mean, we would have to. But if they don't, if there's no point in martyring yourself, is there? Oh, die fighting. Oh, yeah, you and your 500 guys will be wiped out immediately and forgotten about within a few months, and then that'll be that, and your kids will grow up without any parents. And it's not the first time this would have happened either. People should take it, especially Canadians should take it seriously. We take it for granted. We take this country for granted. We've always taken it for granted. I've said many times, we've never had to really fight for it. We've never had to fight for it. There's no spirit or culture ingrained. We are, and you know what? We are in many ways a spoiled, entitled, rich kid that big brother or Uncle Sam is no longer willing to tolerate. The average country's lifespan is about 200 years, and we're right around that. In Eastern Canada, in the Atlantic provinces, there used to be a country called Acadia. If you're out this way, or maybe you've seen it, looks like a French flag with a star on it. And what is that? That's the Acadian flag, or at least it used to be. It used to be a whole full-fledged country called Acadia. And then the British annexed it. And they forcibly removed the Acadians and sent them down to the southern United States in Louisiana. That's where the Creole and Cajun culture comes from, why there's all these weird French-speaking people in the swamps of Louisiana. Yeah, their ancestry came from Atlantic Canada. after they were absorbed, annexed, and cast out by the British. It's not Acadia anymore. It no longer exists. So if you think that just because the country you were born in and grew up in and exists now and will always exist, it's not the case. Go read a history book. In fact, big bank take little bank most of the time. And if you're not prepared to defend it and protect it and do what's required to at least present a rough exterior, at least do the porcupine strategy, you're just, what are you? You're just a tasty little treat. Well, you're just a big fat piggy wandering around the woods all by your lonesome. And there's wolves everywhere. And you get more and more expensive and inconvenient to protect from your uncle, Big Sam the Wolf. And maybe he's like, maybe I'll just eat you myself. Probably take more than a meme to defeat those aspirations, but we'll see what happens. It's still early. Something like that would take years and years and years to implement. I don't think the international community would react very well, but in the grips of World War III or something, that could be. They may have to do what the Germans did and say, yeah, we're going to annex this territory temporarily in the meantime because war, China, Russia, blah, blah, blah. But America has a tendency of when it lands, it never goes home. So when they say it's temporary, it's not. That could happen. We'll see. Jenstein says apologies. What did you apologize for? What'd you do? Tassos Platus, how are you? Says, I'm sure if the U.S. invades, Ukraine will send us weapons and aid to help defend our sovereignty. Right, and we sent all that away. We banned our guns. We sent away all of our weapons reserves, our strategic resources, our money, our body armor, our night vision, our artillery cannons, our tanks, our armored fighting vehicles, our machine guns, our night... Everything's gone. And we've never been weaker than we are right now. Good stuff. Great job, everybody. Good job. And yay, the conservatives. You had to Slava, right? You had to make sure. Jewish bigot, how are you, man? He says, hope you had a Merry Christmas and New Year. Was just wondering on your thoughts on the Sean Ryan podcast. I have the clip. I never got to it yet. I can go over that, I guess. Tell the Polak train enthusiast to get off his wallet and make a Rumble account so he can send some super chats. He's one of the Spotify people, so you'll be telling him in the future, I guess. When he hears this, which is now for him and tomorrow for me, but for him as he hears it now, it's right now. But for me, it was yesterday as he's hearing it. So there's a lot of inception time travel going on cross-platform in this podcast. Polak train enthusiast. Yeah. So there was a guy that went on Sean Ryan talking about the... this guy here, it's like a 7-minute clip. I don't really want to get into it now, but we can probably go into another time. This guy that, you know, tried to blow up the Trump Tower or whatever it was with the Cybertruck. It seems as though he was killed by the security state from his own letter he sent to this guy, which they verified to be real and true. He's been followed for over a week by the FBI or Homeland. He's not sure. He's created a VBIED, which is a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, which is why the car or the truck exploded as a defensive move. In case someone tried to arrest him or come get him, he's thinking, well, if you're going to come get me, I'm in my car, I'm going to blow you the fuck up. So stay away from me. He's trying to stay alive. And he was trying to escape to Mexico. He was whistleblowing on war crimes and on a lot of this weird drone activity we're seeing. And he was trying to get this into the hands of anybody that would talk about it. And then, oh, look, he blew up and died. So we'll see. I don't know. I may play that another time. You can find the clip on Sean Ryan has it on his podcast, The Sean Ryan Show, and it's on, I found this clip. It was just uploaded like 20, 15 minutes before I started on Friday night. You can get it on his Instagram page, Sean Ryan 762 on Instagram, if you're interested in that. But I mean, there's all kinds of shadow shit going on. Like this, for example, another CIA whistleblower says foreign adversary is likely responsible for Havana syndrome. This was when everybody was going deaf from this weird ringing noise that was being directed at them, some kind of sonic energy weapon that was happening. People were going deaf and stuff, a number of people, and it was happening in Cuba. That's why they're calling it the Havana syndrome. And I remember thinking, like, is this some kind of experimental weapon they're using? That's what it sounds like. And according to the CIA, it's somebody else, but it might be them. It might be someone else. We're in a period of a lot of conflict and uncertainty and upheaval. And there's clearly things going on at a high level that we're not privy to. We don't understand. We don't have the information. We're just trying to piece together what's going on with what we see around us, and a lot of times it's not enough information, so it's just wait and see. What's really going on? You could spend a lot of time trying to figure that out, and I don't think you would really get anywhere substantial with it. Unless you're not in the room. We're not in the room. I'm not in the White House. I don't hear what's being said. I'm not on the line. I'm not in the Pentagon, bunker. I'm not in the Kremlin. I don't know. And it was like, oh, I know what's going on. If they were any good at their job, which they are, no, you don't. You don't know what's going on. Have some humility and accept that there's a lot of chaos and craziness going on, and we're not going to know. Maybe in the future, in 50 years, when certain people are defeated and removed and certain archives are opened and unsealed, files are unsealed and things are declassified, they'll go, oh, that's what happened. I see. But until then, we don't know. We can only deal with what we do know. And what we do know is these people are all, none of them are out for our best interests. And there's never been a single day or a single time or an instance where I was convinced or even made hopeful that they were. They see us as a business. They see every country as a business. Like I said, Trump, it's a business. Mergers, acquisitions. He's a businessman. All the MAGA people, the Maple MAGA people, oh, we need more money, more stuff, more things. We're going to have more money at the cost of America and Canada and everything else. But stuff and things. Things and stuff and money, too. Coin collecting. Don't you want to be a coin collector? Don't you want to be a coin collector, too? Just think of all the emptiness you can have in your life as you collect all kinds of coins and have never really felt what it was like to fight for anything real in your entire life. That's the new American dream. Stuff and things and Indians. I don't know. The only thing I do know, well, not the only thing I know, but insofar as this goes, before we get out of here for the night, and I'm going to be gone for a little over a week. Morgan and I have some business to attend to. I've got some international terrorism to do. I've got some meetings to attend to. I've got some loose ends to tie up. I've got some papers to sign. I've got some hands to shake. I've got some blood oaths to take. I've got some tunnels to fill in with concrete and poison gas and so on. So I won't be here on Friday or the following Tuesday, but probably the following Friday after that. And we've got some more stuff planned for the end of the month. The movie, hopefully the tour thing should be done in February. I'm going to meet with tomorrow, I think, actually, or the day after with them to get into that. Yeah, it's hard to know what to do or what the right thing to do is or how to move forward. But I know that freedom is what everybody wants. Everybody wants freedom. That's what they say. That's what all the signs are about. That's what all of this has been about. We want freedom this and freedom that. Nobody really explains or digs into what that means. What is freedom? How do you acquire it? What does it look like? How does it feel to have? What does it mean? It's power. Freedom is power, and power is freedom. It's the same thing. I thought money is power. Well, it could be. Because money can buy you influence. It can buy you freedom. It can buy you all kinds of things. Money is power. Yeah. Political influence can be power. Social influence, being a celebrity, any kind of power you can wield to get your way, that's what you need to be free. Being a nice person, being a good person, not being racist, bro, is not going to secure your freedom from people who would want to take it from you. Because if they have more power than you, like the United States does, and they want to take it from you, how do you stop them from doing that? You can't, because they're more powerful than you. Sic para parabellum, is it the old prepare? If you want peace, prepare for war. The best way to defend yourself and protect your, the best way to protect yourself from violence and from war and anything is to be a hard target. Is to be somebody that nobody wants to fight. That's your, to be so good at fighting and so prepared to fight that no one wants to do it, that is your best option. That is the best bet for not having to ever do it, which seems counterintuitive to very feminine, weakling, you know, pathetic fucking people that run this country. But if we had this, a very scary, capable fighting force, no one's talking about invading or taking anything from you ever. And you shouldn't be in a hurry to use that ever either. And all of the guys, and I was, you know, guilty of this when I was a young guy in the Army. You think, oh, I hope I get to go do something someday. I want to go. You don't, though. You don't. You want to be really, really good at your job so that people don't decide to take liberties and take a shot at you. That's why you should go to the gym. You should be in shape, take care of yourself, and be strong, especially as a man. Because what if something happens? What if your neighbor's house is on fire and their children are trapped upstairs and there's nobody around? Nobody's coming for 10 or 15 minutes. It's just you. And you're not physically up to the task, and you're just going to listen to their screams from down there. Any number of things could happen where they need somebody to show up and do something about it. Who are you going to, if you're going to rob someone, are you going to rob, I want to rob this guy. He looks like he's 140 pounds, not paying attention, looking at his phone, hood pulled up over his head, hands in his pockets, doesn't seem very confident. Or maybe this guy who's got cauliflower ear, who's sitting up very straight and alert and looking directly in my eyes. He's not afraid of me at all. He's smiling, so I don't, yeah, he's probably not somebody you want to be a hard target. How do you become, where do you get power? Our only power as the individuals, as the people, as the peasant class, is collectively amongst ourselves, collectively collected, put together like the Megazord from Power Rangers or something. One guy, two guys, 10 guys. They're not going to do anything. We're not billionaires. We don't have companies. We're not Eric Prince. I'm not Eric Prince. I don't have a private army in Blackwater. I don't have any of those things. And even if you did, you're still not enough to compete with a state. With a foreign state, with an enemy of any kind of size or magnitude, even if you are a billionaire. Look at how much, even in the civil war inside the machine that Trump's been involved in, people at his level, they didn't want him, No, it's my turn. Now it's my turn. Look at how much shit even him, without as much money and influence as popular as he was, how much he had to fight through just to get there. One billionaire, 2 billion, it's not enough. So if it's a war, if it's an economic downturn, if it's out of control crime, if it's waves of migrant hordes, if it's a weather event, if it's some kind of catastrophe, doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the problem coming around the corner is. The solution is the same, or not the solution, but the preparatory process is always the same. We have to get stronger. We have to be more unified. We have to be more collected, more cohesive. The arms have to be locked tighter so that whatever it is that comes around the corner, we are in the best possible position to deal with it collectively as a people, as a nation, as a tribe. That's where our power is. It's not in the individual. It's not in your fucking savings account. It's not in your cryptocurrency. It's not in how many followers you have on Twitter and social media. None of that means anything. None of that's going to go anywhere. Everyone's focused on me, and me, stuffing things and material. What about me and me and mine and me and me and me and me? You're one fucking person, and you're complaining about fighting the empire, which is a massive network of people and businesses and corporations and interests around the world. The globalists. Right, but don't click up with anybody. Don't pair up with anybody. Don't team up with anybody. You'll just stay. Somebody else will deal with it, right? Some other men will come along and deal with it. We don't have to do anything. Nobody has to do anything. No, wrong. Very wrong. Whatever the situation is, if we don't have the collective force, influence, weight, gravity, whatever word you want to use, to push back against whatever's trying to be imposed upon us, at least to the level where they go, you know what? It's probably not worth the fight. We could win. We probably would win, but at a cost that's not agreeable to us. So for now, at least, we're just going to leave those people alone. Because they're too tightly knit together. From that position, if you had, there's, how many Canadians are left? 27 million, right? Fuck, if you had 5 million of them. Imagine 5 million people collectively putting their money, their talent, their experience, their expertise, their everything together in one big pile and directing it at one objective. One mission, one idea. That's a position that you can fight from and have a chance. But not as scattered individuals, isolated alone, hoping that somebody else is going to come fix their problems for them. That's never been how it's done. It's not going to start. If there's any kind of rallying, was that? If there's any kind of rallying principle, that could be used, it's that one. They're all bad. They're not us. We're not them. Any of your friends or family, anybody you know down there in Parliament? They're all multimillionaires. Landlords, business owners, investors, they're all doing real great. And it's very convenient. It helps them maintain their lifestyle and what they're used to. You got to join that team or you do that team and then they do the voting and you got to do the campaigning. You got to give the donations. Everybody fight amongst each other so these people that are all preying upon your mutual suffering can continue to live a life of luxury and extravagance. Says who? Whose idea was this? Oh, theirs? I have a different idea. Just a baseline. Let's work from the position of we all want to live. We all want to have dignified, safe, meaningful lives with opportunities and hope in it. We want those things. We're not going to get it from them, from any of them. They work against us achieving that at every turn so that they can have more for themselves. The political class, red, blue, green, purple, black, blue, whatever, brown, whatever stupid banner that they have up there. Oh, we're different than you. It's just advertising. Oh, pick me. No, pick me. No, pick me. No, I want to eat at the pig trough next. From where I'm sitting, especially you, Douglas, you all look quite well fed to me. A lot of our people would like to eat. They're never going to, and they can't because they think that you guys, this is going to somehow resolve their problems, and they don't really realize that it's a scam. They just need your consent. They need your money and your support so they can continue living that life. We had a system, kind of functioned for a while, started getting wobbly, parts started falling off. What's that screw for? Do we need that? I don't know. It probably came out of something. Some of the instruments stopped working. You know, it's getting worse and worse. Now it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work for us. It's not working. The system that we're in is failing. It is not up to the task. It's not capable of remedying the situation that we're in. And if it is, it's not staffed with the people necessary to make that happen because it's been quite a long time of dealing with these problems and still, somehow, no one has figured out how to do any of it yet. The revolution, the solution isn't voting. It's not Orange Man. It's not, we need a different president. We need to vote this guy out and vote a different person out. That's not it. That's the status quo. That's what we've always done. That's always been the same thing we've always done. That's insanity. This time it'll be different because we're going to vote that guy out. And then it'll be different because we're going to vote him out. And then later it'll be different because we're going to vote him out. We're just going to keep voting people out. Totally oblivious to the fact that big money from the enemy controls every political party, all of the media, all of the messaging. It selects and chooses and approves who is allowed for you to select in the first place. Yeah, you could beat the casino. Just keep going in there. Just keep playing the slots. You'll win eventually. The revolution and the solution and the path forward to any kind of actual change is not to send more people into the casino and try to game the casino and try to figure out how to work your way into the casino and work your way up the casino and take over the casino. The revolution and the way out is to convince everyone to boycott and walk away from the casino forever. Because it doesn't exist to help you. The casino exists to help itself to your pockets.
Oh, but if I just... I'll just change it from the inside, bro. I'm gonna get elected, and then I'm gonna, like, do all the stuff and things, and... Oh, it's that? The casino owners don't want me to do that? I'm fired? What does that mean? I'm gonna get shot in the head in public on national television? Oh, jeez. Lambs, you got it. He says, countries are not guaranteed to survive. It's a fight, and not one can is prepared to survive against the U.S. We better buck up, or we're going to be de-existed. That's life. That's nature. You don't need a magic book. You don't need a magic book. You don't need a scientist. You don't need any of that. You need your eyes and your ears and your heart and your mind to observe the world in which you live and draw conclusions from the rules of the world in which you live. And there's a thing called nature that all life abides by. All the spark and light of life, all of it, is part of nature. And nature's been very clear about one thing, always. The weak die and the strong survive. If you don't fight, you don't deserve to exist. Make a choice. All right, that's it. Hopefully Orange Man doesn't invade while I'm gone. I feel like it'll take them a little longer, but hey, you know, some of those Marine Corps units, they're quick, they're crafty. They can show up anywhere in the world 24 hours. He'll just try to pinch the money hose off and see if PP will squeal. Just when you think you got it figured out, the plot changes dramatically.
You know what?
We've graduated. Fucking knock the liberals down. We've surpassed them in the national rankings. Diagonalon is now above the Liberal government of Canada in the power rankings. We've surpassed them. We're an up-and-coming prospect. We're developing still. Everything we have achieved, everything we have survived collectively as a group, as a community, and the greater Canadian people, maybe ones that aren't even involved with us, anything good, any bit, every single challenge that we've conquered and surpassed, all of it has been done not on the strength of me alone or any of the guys on their own. All of it was done collectively. The strength of all of us together is what pushed us over those barriers. People that do that will always defeat the ones that won't. Tribe up or get left behind. It's up to you. I'll see you next time. We'll be back. And until then, I'm just Derek and Ferry. Gonna have to keep you busy. I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. I'll see you next time. RaisingDistance.com for all my social media links to everything I'm still allowed to have, and you can find the stream and the podcast there. All of the links, Spotify, download it, don't download it, share it, don't share it. I don't know, I don't care, nobody's ever cared. Pro Patria, six up at Tyrannus. See you on the beach.
Prepare for it.
I just wanted to prepare. Where are we going already? How'd you find this many guys already? No, that's not what the clubs were for. No, they were supposed to be, like, weightlifting at the... Yeah, I see you've gone rogue and created a whole road warrior team of militiamen. That's great. Where are we going? Why radar love of all... Phil, the GPS says 16 hours to Washington, D.C., the White House. Are we going to the White House? Why is the back of the truck filled with kerosene? No, answer the question. Don't... Give me those... You're doing cocaine off the dashboard. Drive the car. Jesus Christ, you nearly hit that guy. Yeah, well, yeah, he was Indian, but it's still, it would have... Can you let me... We're not stopping, are we? I don't mean to... I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, Phil, but I feel like the White House security is substantially better than it was in 1812. Whatever, there's worse ways to go. Give me a bump in a Kalashnikov. Let's do this.